Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Cratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg, you better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By the all-new Galesburg Toyota, the dealership everyone is talking about. By Kehoe Eye Care, they care for people, not just eyes. By Midstate Manufacturing, the headquarters for any of your steel material fabrication or powder coating needs. And by Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Well, we do get the game underway. The Silver Streaks' Dylan McBride returns the ball to the just under the 28-yard line. And the Silver Streaks, on their first snap from scrimmage, get a nice run off right tackle. But right at the end of the play, as it was coming to the end, the referee threw a flag in the backfield. And the Streaks get called for holding, and that's going to mark them back to the 16-yard line. So we actually got started a couple minutes early. But only 15 seconds off the clock, and the only play of the game that's been run is actually offset by a penalty. So Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you, Tom Meredith, our broadcast engineer. Streaks have the ball, and a toss play to Dylan McBride running to the outside, and he gains 4 on first down to the 20-yard line. Silver Streaks have to get to the 38, so it'll be 2nd and 18 upcoming. Jim, good to have you along. Beautiful day, and you were just talking about a little different down where you are than up in the press box.
Yeah, you've got the nice breeze when you're up high in the press box today, but down on the field there is still nearly as strong a breeze, and so it's going to get pretty warm down here. I would guess you'll probably officials time out water breaks today.
Again, Jake Miller, Sean Hickey, away on assignment, as they say on the Cardinals broadcast. 2nd and long for the Silver Streaks. Swing pass to the outside, complete to Vaynerman, and he advances the ball to the 25-yard line, so it'll be a short gain. Actually, that was to Grant Ayton. My apologies. So it'll be 3rd and 13 upcoming on the short pass play from senior Connor Ayton to his sophomore brother Grant. And it'll be 3rd and 12 upcoming. Again, the Silver Streaks get called for a holding penalty on the first play of the game. So they start moving backwards right off the get-go. Now let's see how they can handle third and long here. Silver Streaks is 3 out of 10 on third downs last week. Out of the shotgun, 8, good protection. Gets the pass away on the run into the hands of Dre Egyptiaco. First down up the near sideline into Centralia territory and run out of bounds at the Orphans' 46-yard line. A gain of 29, and the Silver Streaks move the chains on a big third down conversion.
Well-run play. It's one thing to draw it up. It's another thing to execute it, and the Streaks did perfectly that time as Egyptiaco comes off the right side, just runs right across the middle. Ayton put it in a perfect spot to lead him into a good run at the end of the catch, and the Streaks in business across the 50 into Centralia territory.
Lining up in the wishbone on 3 of the first 4 offensive formations. Hand off to the first man through up the middle, and Bullhorn running back Cannon Klein plays a lot defensively on the linebacker, and he gets the handoff, the up man in that wishbone, and he picks up 6 on first down on the sophomore's first carry of the season.
One of the big jobs for the Streaks offense is to keep track of linebacker number 50, Mark McLean, on that Centralia defense. He anchors it, and he's the guy that if you don't get a body on him, he's going to be in on every tackle.
Streaks, same formation. Hand off right side to McBride. Good lead blocks. Breaks to the outside. Has some room to run to the 30. Wrapped up inside the 30 and spun down to the Centralia 27-yard line. A pickup of 14, and the Streaks move the chains.
There's some breathing room running through that line that we didn't see in 4 quarters against Dunlap last week.
Nope.
This is refreshing to see, and we had hoped that this might be the case. That Dunlap team was a little better than people gave them credit for, I think, early on.
Silver Streaks looking for their first win. Centralia opened with a win last week. Handoff bouncing to the outside. David Vaynerman with the carry and drags a couple of players inside the 20 to the Centralia 19-yard line for a gain of 8 on first down. And the Silver Streaks mixing it up nicely here on this opening possession, moving inside the Centralia red zone. They've picked up 15, 33 yards on the ground and 34 yards through the air. So good balance, exactly what you look for out of the offense. Second and a long two, rolling right. Ayton, toss play into the hands of Aaron Carl in the tight end. Sophomore grabs across the 15 and taken down at the knees inside to about the 12 for a pickup of seven more.
A nice job by Deshaun Mitchell, defensive back for Centralia, because if he doesn't get over there, it's a one-on-one tackle, and he gave up a lot of size to Aaron Carl right there, but found a way to get him down before Carl headed up the headline, the sideline.
Streaks stay in the wishbone. They showed this at times last week, handoff to the first man, and that's Klein again, who moves the pile down to the 10 for a short gain of two, but a hard-earned 2 yards.
Yeah, that was a pile. Of the 22 guys on the field, probably 16 were in that pile that time, so it wasn't going to go very far.
Silver Streaks with a second and, we'll call it second and eight at the 11. Just underway, no preliminary game. Again, freshman games being played ahead of the varsity games in our neck of the woods, but and then a JV game being played on Monday. So no preliminary game here. Ayton got tripped up by one of his offensive linemen. He still got the handoff to McBride, but play not as crisp on that handoff. And McBride to about the 10 for a short gain. It'll be third and seven for the Silver Streaks in two down territory.
Junior Brendan Franklin on the tackle for Centralia. He's 5'10", 210. They're leaning a lot on underclassmen here, not only in the football schedule, but we talked with basketball coach Lee Bennett. They've got a good sophomore group just like Ellsberg does.
Streak split, one to each side of Ayton. Fakes the handoff, keeps it, but the busted play is trying to get to the outside, still scrambling for it, and wrapped up from behind down at the 11-yard line, so Ayton loses a yard, and the Streaks do not convert on third down. It'll bring up fourth down from the Centralia 11. Olivas has the leg, but still battling consistency a little bit. But it looks like he's running it in, and the Streaks are going to attempt a field goal here. Of course, Ayton on the hold. This is our first chance to see the Silver Streaks attempt a field goal this season. It'll be about a 28-yarder. And Olivas with the left foot lines it up. The snap from Reed Hawkins comes. Ayton gets the hold down, and the kick gets blocked. Centralia scoops it up, and now Ayton has to make the tackle, and wrapping him up at the 33-yard line, still on his feet, and the Silver Streaks finally have to bully him down. It's a true gang tackle situation, as after the block, the ball picked up by Brendan Franklin, and he carries it almost all the way up to the 40-yard line on the live ball on the block.
And I think the guy that actually blocked it was McLean, the guy we talked about, their middle line, number 50, that fought through there. And then Franklin picks it up. And, yeah, the home crowd was really loud over there once the Streaks had trouble getting him down. They were chipping him off. Get those extra yards.
Centralia had some big plays defensively last week. They stopped Salem inside the 10-yard line right before halftime. Had two defensive touchdowns, so we knew that was the strength of this Orphans team coming in. And let's see what the Silver Streaks defense can do against this offense. Centralia led by Davin Tabor, a 5'10", 145-pound sophomore as their quarterback. Kwan Brown, a junior running back. And then they often throw three or four wideouts on a pretty wide-open offense. And they go with the end around, the handoff to Camden Woolbright, running right to left, trying to get to the outside. And Aaron Carl was not fooled by it, and he stuffed him and took him down at the line of scrimmage and actually back behind the line for a loss of a yard.
Yeah, Justice Gatson also over there for the Silver Streaks, as they did string that play out. And it will be interesting to see what Centralia can or can't do offensively. Last week you might say, well, they scored 21 points. Well, that's a little misleading. Their defense got a strip and a score for a touchdown, blocked a punt. They didn't do a whole lot from scrimmage last week. Hopefully that'll be the case again this week.
Second and 11. As they line up in a more traditional formation, one wide out to each side, two tight ends tight, and a single running back gets the handoff. That's Tabor. Skips one tackle in the backfield, scrambling at the line of scrimmage, trying to juke and dodge, and the Streaks indicate that the ball came loose, and they come up with it on a fumble recovery. So they knock the ball out of Tabor's hands, and Galesburg has it in Centralia territory at about the 37-yard line.
Yeah, there's what you love to see. Get that offense back on the field, make the Centralia defense work. Of course, they have a lot of two-way players anyway, But Aaron Carl that time, I was afraid he was going to get a face mask called. He got the hand up high, but apparently just got the jersey up around the shoulder. And then, of course, able to generate that fumble, and the Streaks in business inside the Centralia 40.
So the strip of Kiwan Brown. And the Streaks, Centralia has the ball only a minute. And Galesburg takes over with 5:32 to go in this first quarter. And Ayton drops back in the pistol. Looks left, pump fake, now looking right. Bullet pass through the middle, knifes it between two defenders. Was the catch made there by Justice Gatson? They say it was, as it was low down around his ankles, but he scoops it before it touches the ground, and it's complete to the 32 for a gain of six.
Well, a good choice by Connor Ayton. He had several options there. Had Grant Ayton, also David Vaynerman, going down a little deeper on the right side. Neither one of those guys were open, so he found the only window that could throw the ball there and got a completion.
Four pass completions, four different receivers for Connor Ayton. McBride tries to slip a tackle with penetration in the backfield, and he's taken down for a loss. The initial hit was made by Tyler Farmer. He was the first man through from that Centralia defensive front, and he made McBride have to cut back and never really was able to get his forward momentum going, and by then the defense was in, and it's a loss of three, and it'll bring up third and about, we'll call it third and eight. From the Centralia 35-yard line. McBride's third, fourth carry of the game already. Silver Streaks trying to take advantage of a recovered fumble. Ayton in the grasp in the back, and that's going to be a face mask penalty as he gets taken down all the way back at the 47-yard line. And the initial man defensively who got back there got the hand up too high and got him right in the face mask. And that's going to be a 15-yarder against the Orphans.
It would be a huge break for the Silver Streaks because that play, they blew it up in a hurry. And similar to a couple of the plays last week against Dunlap, Ayton just didn't have any time at all to even set up, was running for his life. That would have been a big loss, but again, we haven't seen the official indication. Have we got it yet?
There it is, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, the official was indicating not only the face mask, but in his movement to the press box, he indicated that he got the hand in there and pulled Connor's helmet down. So it would have been a 15-yarder anyway, but that just verified it for sure. So they'll walk off the 15-yard penalty, and the ball spotted at the 33-yard line.
And there's some dispute about that,
yeah,
down here, Brad.
That's what I'm wondering.
Mike Washabaugh saying, no, that's only 10. And, okay, the official says it's from where he was tackled, so that was at the 47.
All right, so the 15-yard penalty gives the Streaks another chance at it at third down. So instead of the ball being at the 35, it'll be at the 33. And it'll be third and a long six for the Silver Streaks. 1-for-2 on third downs in this game. 4-16 and counting in the first quarter of a scoreless game so far. Straight up eye for Ayton under center. And play goes nowhere either as he hands off to Dylan McBride. And the defensive back, Davionte Cunningham, came through over one of the Silver Streaks offensive linemen. I think that was Blaze Purchase. And they went straight up the middle with McBride, and he ran right into Cunningham, and that play went for a loss of a yard.
Yeah, and Cunningham, not a big guy at 5'9", but he knows how to get down low and just took the legs right out from under the Streaks ball carrier. And so what will we see here? I would guess the Streaks going for it on 4th and 7.
Now, Connor can also pooch punt it, so that's an option too. Although he's not lined up too deep, he drops back. The rush is on. Screen pass, throws it away, and it's complete to Dylan McBride. Spins off one tackle, gets the first down inside the 30, close to the 25-yard line. The screen pass worked perfectly. Centralia brought the rush, and the Streaks move the chains on a big fourth-down conversion.
Yeah, sophomore linebacker Eli Shaw of Centralia is not going to want to see that one in the film this week because he had the one-on-one open shot, and if he makes that tackle, Centralia takes the ball, but he could not bring the streak down, and Streaks get it up the sideline for another first down.
Goes as a 10-yard gain to the Centralia 24. Ayton on the rollout left, going long, looking downfield, and he overthrows Justice Gatson outside the back end of the end zone, incomplete, and that is Connor's first incompletion of the game after completing the first five for 57 yards. It'll be second and 10.
We mentioned in the pregame this field, a lot of us thought it was turf looking down at it, and then you get down here and it's actually real grass. And it really is like a golf green. It's got that texture. It's very soft underfoot. And I thought maybe it would get chewed up when the guys started playing out here on it, but it really seems to be holding up very well. I'm not sure the science behind it, but it's a very nice field.
Second and 10, Silver Streaks, 3:28 to go in this opening quarter of a scoreless game. From the Centralia 24, handoff up the middle. McBride feeling his way through some holes, gets down to the 20-yard line for a gain of 4. Another flag comes in right at the end of the play. That's how the game started on the Silver Streaks' first offensive play from scrimmage, a running play that brought a flag down right at the end. This one seems to be against Centralia as the referee is talking things over with the Silver Streaks. Here comes the signal now. Well, holding. How do you get a hold at the very end of the play? That's the second time we've seen it, though. Second hold against the Silver Streaks, and it'll negate a short gain of about 3.
Well, the Silver Streaks had some penalties last week that came at inopportune times, and we're doing the same thing here today. That opening play we had got set back about 15 yards before our opening drive, and then this one here, just as we're moving it down the field. But I guess you can say fortune smiled on us. They had that face mask penalty, too, on them that negated that.
Second and 20, rather. Ayton steps up as the pocket collapses, and he's tackled. Keyshawn Jones got into the backfield. Ayton stepped up into the pocket trying to avoid the pressure, and Jones was right there to make the tackle back at the 38-yard line for a loss of 4 more. So the penalty and now the loss, tackle for loss, and it's bringing up third and about 24.
Jones got the football body, 6'4", 255.
All right, third and long. Silver Streaks 1 out of 3 on third downs already in this game. Deeper drop. Now Ayton rolling to the right. Throws it on the run. Looking long. Looking end zone and off the fingertips and good man-to-man coverage all the way downfield. Intended for his brother Grant at the back end of the end zone. But just good defense by Centralia downfield to deny him the catch. It'll be fourth down.
Yeah, well played on both sides. Like you said, the coverage was good, and I thought Connor made a good decision. As long as you throw that ball plenty deep, the only guy that's going to get it is your receiver, who would have been Grant that time. It's just a little bit too much arm. There's a little bit of wind at our back right now, not a lot, but enough that might have sailed that ball toward the end of the end zone.
Let's see if the Silver Streaks will punt this time. Yep, Connor's going to pooch it, just a short one. Directional toward the far sideline, inside the 10, and then it rolls forward and actually skips out of bounds right before the pylon. Centralia will have it at the 1 with 2:22 to go here in this opening quarter, and that'll make a bit of an arduous task for the Orphans. And the Silver Streaks will be ready to try to get a big turnover again here and get some great field position. Again, let's see what the defense can do. Offense has moved the ball in its first two possessions, but coming up empty, 2:22 to go, opening quarter of a scoreless game.
And the defense usually gets excited when they get this opportunity because there's a chance to score there, too. When you get the ball that close to the goal line, offense makes a miscue or somebody has a moment of hesitation, you can put 2 points up on that board on a safety. The downside is if you get too consumed with making that big hit or that big play, you see some big runs come out of that area, too.
Centralia has run only 2 offensive plays in this game. They fumbled on the second play of the game. That was Kewan Brown, the running back. Their offense has been on the field only a minute so far, but their defense has held true. We're scoreless. The short drop by Dewan Tabor gets it away, and he gets out of the end zone after the completion and scrambles forward to about the 6-yard line on the pass play complete in the end zone to Marcus Isaiah, and then he was able to weave out of the end zone and make something positive as the Streaks nearly out of safety.
Yeah, that was a pretty gutsy play when you throw the ball on first down that close to the goal line. But it wasn't like they were waiting on somebody to run a long pass route. They just wanted the short hitter and at least got themselves a little breathing room here.
Again, a gain of 6 on the pass play to Marcus Isaiah. After the catch, did most of that on his own. Single setback. This time it'll be a keeper by Tabor, trying to bounce to the right side. Outside, steps up across the 10, stays in bounds, and then steps out of bounds, but up to the 14-yard line for a gain of 7, and they move the chains. That stops the clock with a minute 38 to go, and the first down of the game for Centralia. Again, the Orphans come in 1-0. Silver Streaks looking for their first win of the season. And going on the road in an attempt to make it happen on about the 3-hour, 45-minute trip to the south. Single set back, and it's Brown with a handoff. Bounces right, squirts up field, close to, and then wrapped up at the 20-yard line and taken down by a couple of Silver Streaks defenders there. Helping finish things off, Aaron Carl. I think it was Max Carr in on the initial hit as well. Still goes as a gain of 6. It'll be 2nd and 4. Brown was the running back who fumbled, but the Silver Streaks recovered earlier. It was true on the handoff and the hold there. 2nd and 4 from the 20 as we approach 1 minute to go in the opening quarter. Out of the gun, dropping back, Tabor. Now the pocket, still scrambling, gets a block, frees himself up, throws it up the near sideline and out of bounds. Intended up the near sideline for Woolbright, who had a reception earlier, and it'll bring up 3rd down.
Silver Streaks have done a pretty good job of making sure that David Tabor, the quarterback for Centralia, doesn't get out and run because, as Marty Turner was telling us, the defensive coordinator for the Streaks in the pregame show, he likes to run first. I mean, that's number one, and then if he has to stop and throw it, he'll do that. Didn't have much success right there, but I thought he made the right choice, just couldn't thread the needle on the sideline.
Stops the clock with 56.3 seconds to go. Again, 3rd and 4 for Centralia from the Orphans' 20-yard line. Scoreless game so far. Woolbright in motion, right to left. Lines up there of a 2 tight end set. The shotgun snap through the quarterback's hand, so he just scoops it away to Brown to the left side, cut back to the middle, and then wrapped up and pulled down. That was actually Corey White on the toss play, and he gets the 1st down up to the 26-yard line. Did not look pretty, but
it looked
they made
like
it happen.
Hot potato, didn't it?
It did.
And the quarterback, Tabor, fumbled the ball a little bit. He's like, here, take this. I don't want it. And they ended up getting a 1st down out of it.
2nd 1st down of the drive that started back at the 1-yard line. So the Silver Streaks need to tighten up here to try to bring this drive to an end before they really get some momentum going. Streaks show blitz. Vaynerman up the middle, gets blocked. Straight drop back by Tabor, gets it away to the left side, right back to White, who just had the handoff, but he's dropped back behind the line of scrimmage for a loss on the pass completion back to the 25. And that may be the last play of the 1st quarter as we wind down to 12 seconds to go.
Nick Delavanis and Hunter Davina both on the tackle for the Silver Streaks that time. There were some others over there, but Delavanis and Davina were the two that pretty well brought him down. Is, yeah, that 1st quarter went fast.
No score after 1 from Centralia. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Don't pack up your barbecue. Let the barbecue come to you. Why not have the perfect deck in your own backyard? RP Lumber carries the latest quality composite decking materials you need to have a maintenance-free deck. Visit them today and experience the RP difference.
You just crashed your car. Accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
From Centralia, Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee on Silver Streaks Football. Tom Meredith, our broadcast engineer. No score after 1 quarter. We want to thank one of our sponsors, Galesburg Nissan, back with us again this season for Galesburg High School football and girls and boys basketball, providing our transportation anytime we go on the road for a broadcast. And Jim and I traveling in a 2018 Nissan Kicks. It's one of the newer vehicles in the Nissan fleet, but of course we, more than anything, want to remind you about the incredible lifetime warranty that you can get at Galesburg Nissan. The lifetime limited powertrain warranty, but it's unlimited time, unlimited mileage. It does not expire, and it does not come at any additional cost. And again, that powertrain warranty that covers things like the engine, the drivetrain assembly, the transmission, the all-wheel drive assembly. And we'll talk more about the Nissan Kicks as we go along. But, of course, don't forget that great deal with the lifetime warranty at Galesburg Nissan. And we thank them again for providing our transportation on the road all season long. 3rd down for Centralia, and the quarterback keeper to the left side, and a good wrap-up and throw down by linebacker Dylan McBride across the 25 to about the 27-yard line. And it's going to bring up another long down and distance as we're just underway in the 2nd quarter of a scoreless game. It'll be 3rd and a long 10.
Well, nice job by the Silver Streaks linebackers and secondary coming up for the tackle that time on Tabor, because he took his first step to the right, and our whole line, of course, facing him had shifted to the left. He was able to skirt by them, but then everybody else filled in on that sideline and stopped that play.
On the Streaks jump off sides. Got drawn off, and Travis Kazire kind of smacks himself in the helmet. He was up the middle, and he got fooled. So that gives Centralia a little better chance from third and 10.5 to about third and 5.5.
Yeah, better to do that now than when it's third and 4 late in the game. Jump off sides.
Second penalty on the Silver, or rather third penalty. They've had a couple holding penalties already in this game as well. Streaks creeping up on the sideline.
He almost got us again.
Now Aaron Carl coming in from the right side backs off. Long count coming out of the shotgun. Now Tabor gets it away, rolling right, and he underthrows his intended receiver at the 32-yard line on the far side of the field. He was trying to find Deshaun Mitchell, and it falls incomplete, and it brings up fourth down.
Even if he did find Mitchell, number 5, Max Carr, over there for the Silver Streaks, wasn't going to let that play go anywhere. It was a great cover. Probably just as well for Centralia. They threw that ball low, and if they're going to kick it, well, it'll be interesting, because I was reading where their punting game wasn't too solid last week. A number of shanks, they said, in that game against Salem.
So they're actually going to send somebody back, and it's Marcus Isaiah, and he kicks it down the near sideline, and Silver Streaks weren't back really ready for it. So it'll roll all the way down to the 20-yard line. So Centralia flips the field, and that's most important to the Orphans. Again, remember that drive started back at the 1. So even though they didn't get any points out of it, we're still scoreless, 10:36 to go in this first quarter. But they did what they needed to do, kept their offense on the field for a while, took some time off the clock, got out of the shadow of their own end zone, and moved it downfield enough that the punt gives the Streaks the ball at their own 20.
You know, we were talking on the way down about how this meeting came to be, Brad, and you were saying that this is just a one-year. This is not a home-and-home contract. It's a one-year meeting. Both schools were amenable to it because they both had their struggles last year, and it looked to be a pretty even matchup, and it certainly has been through one quarter.
Third offensive possession for the Silver Streaks. Handoff goes to the right side, and Alex Adipciaco gets run out of bounds. He passed the original line of scrimmage. The official marks him out of the 23 for a gain of 3, and the clock stops with 10:32. But again, as we were alluding to earlier, that denies the possibility of a freshman game. Centralia really doesn't have the numbers for a freshman game. And obviously the Streaks won't be coming back here for a JV game on Monday.
You know, after the trip to Marion a few years ago, though, this one didn't seem all that long.
No, it's all perspective, right? Ayton rolling left, has a lead blocker, gets it free, and he underthrows the intended receiver, Gatson, on the far side of the field. 2 yards past the first down marker. And after Connor completed his first 5 passes of the game, the last 3 are now incomplete. And it brings up 3rd and 7 for the Silver Streaks. Not a bad night for the Western Big Six in the area last night. Rock Island got its first win, big win over Metamora.
You don't say that very often.
Nope. Some people, I think, maybe got a little excited when they saw Rock Island lost last week. But, yeah, they came back with a vengeance last night. And this play goes nowhere. The Streaks try to hand off up the middle to Alex Egyptiaco again. And Centralia busted it open, was in the backfield in no time. And he loses the 3 yards he gained on first down. So that's a quick 3-and-out for the Silver Streaks. And exactly what the coaching staff didn't want after their struggles at times and so many 3-and-outs last week.
From a running standpoint, the one thing you'd love to have, of course, is a public school. You can't just pick out your roster every year, but if you have the big fullback to pound away at that line a little bit, I see Derek Blackwell down here, of course, a coach that was exactly that for the Streaks for years, but we just don't have that guy.
Connor Ayton's kick, a little wobbler, bounces at the 46-yard line, rolls up to the 50, and then crawls back into Galesburg territory. Elia will take over. 9:43 to go in this first half. At the 49-yard line.
Derek, he was definitely all that carrying the ball for the Streaks in his playing career, just so strong. And he's the strongest one I remember from a fullback position, but I was not here when Jerry Cato was here. I heard that trying to bring Jerry down was was a trick several decades ago.
He was one of the standouts on that great 1991 team that went 8-1, undefeated in the Western Big Six.
Lost in the snowstorm.
And then, yep, to Joliet Catholic. Bouncing to the outside, the running back, Kiwan Brown, gets to the outside, cuts it upfield. Knocked out of bounds short of the first down. He'll have it at the 42.5-yard line. We'll call it a gain of 7 on first down for Brown. Again, no score here in this first half. 9:37 to go in the second quarter. From Centralia, Jim Lee filling in for Jake Miller, Sean Hickey today. I'm Brad Benowitz. Tom Meredith, our broadcast engineer. Coming up after our broadcast, we'll get you to the Fighting Illini game against Connecticut and then Cardinal baseball tonight. Hand off up the middle. They go to Brown again, wrapped up across the 40 to about the 37-yard line. Aaron Carl on the tackle, but is a yard past the first down marker, and they move the chains.
Yeah, I came down here, and I had several on the sideline say, what, did Jake and Sean just didn't want to make the four-hour trip, or
yes,
what?
Yes, yes.
I said, yeah. So they called the old guy, threw him in. But I guess they're furthering their studies today, right?
That's correct.
Teach the teacher day.
Teachers always have ongoing education that they do as well, and that's what they are up to. First down for Centralia from the Galesburg 38-yard line. Looking to break the scoreboard of a scoreless game. Rolling right on the rollout, pass complete, flag down, and the tackle made right at the line of scrimmage. Pass complete to Miguel Galvin, but let's see what the flag is. Going to get together and talk things over.
You know, Max Carr made the tackle that time for the Silver Streaks, and as he got up and walked away, it was one of those where sometimes when you make the tackle, you get more punishment than the guy that you tackle. And I think that was kind of the case. Max had the runner stick his helmet, I think, kind of in the chest area there, and he got up trying to shake that off. He looks fine now, but it's just one of those you can kind of tell that was not the easiest tackle.
Holding penalty against Centralia negates the pass completion, and was downing in right about the first down marker, so it would have been close. But instead, it'll take it down back to the 50. And it'll be first and 22 now. Under 9 minutes to go here in this scoreless first half.
Let's get a turnover here. Make a big play.
Fake handoff. Rolling right. Quarterback keeper, Woo! Tabor, gets hit at big. The line of scrimmage and upended right at the 50.
David Vaynerman. He brought it that time.
He did. He gets a big helmet slap from teammate Travis Kazire, and it'll be second and 22. Well, it wasn't the turnover you were looking for, but it was an exciting play.
It was, yep. That's the kind of play that really gets the whole team fired up when they see hits like that. You see those increasing. When you get to the college level, you see more, and, of course, the pro level even more, of those big blow-up type hits. You don't see them that often in high school, but Vaynerman had a nice one there.
Second and 22 from the 50 to the left side. Another big hit, and then finishing him off, Nico Delagiannis at the end of the play. The handoff went to Corey White, and he got a couple of yards of forward progress and got slowed down, and then Delagiannis finished him off. So it'll be third and 20 now after the two-yard gain by White. So back into Galesburg territory at the 48-yard line. Centralia 1-for-1 on third down so far. 7:35 and counting here in the second quarter. Tabor looks to the sideline, gets the pass play, looks right, faked left, and in the grasp and back down at the 42-yard line. As busting through that offensive line, Hunter Davina came through with a huge tackle for loss, and it'll be back at the 44-yard line, a loss of 8, and fourth down.
This has not been a real profitable offensive sequence for Centralia. The big hits, 15-yard penalty mixed in there, and they're just going backwards right now.
That's the kind of play we talk about potentially as a Dave's Auto Body crunch time play of the game.
It was a cruncher, that's for sure.
And we're not even halfway through the second quarter. We'll look back on that one and see how this game plays out from here, especially if the Streaks can put on some pressure here and block the punt. That's what they're thinking. They had the rush on earlier, Marcus Isaiah back. They push forward, but he gets it away. Nobody back for the Silver Streaks. It bounces at the 19, takes a Centralia roll down to about the 10-yard line. So he gets the job done. So that goes as a net of 46 on the punt. And the Silver Streaks will start from their own 10-yard line with 6:32 to go in a scoreless first half.
Well, I had read last week where in their game, I think I mentioned it earlier, that they had shanked a couple of punts, so there seemed to be a little confidence that maybe that wasn't a strong suit. Well, they must have practiced that over this last week, because both of his kicks, that one especially, excellent. Couldn't get much better.
Or perhaps they had a situation where he wasn't punting for them last week for whatever reason. Back at it this week.
Yeah, because the scouting report just said punter, a couple of shanks. So it could have been anybody.
All right, Silver Streaks come under center. Conservative formation here. Handoff, big hole up the middle, though, for Dylan McBride, but a good closing tackle made at the 15-yard line. And guess who? The guy we were told a lot about and we were going to watch for as the game went along, and that's linebacker Mark McClain, who you were talking about earlier, Jim. He closed that hole in a big hurry.
Yeah, and he's been on that previous possession when we tried to throw into the corner of the end zone deep. He was back in single coverage on that, so they'll take him and run him with anybody man-on-man. He's just a really good athlete.
Second and five from the 15. McBride lined up to the left of eight, and he throws it. Pass complete right at the 20 to Dre Egyptiaku, and just a step line enough to move the chains. Silver Streaks didn't need much, and they got just enough. So first down from the 20 now.
Yeah, Deshaun Mitchell in on the tackle there for Centralia. He was all over the play. He'd sniffed it out, but he couldn't deny the Streaks that little bit of yardage they needed to move the chains.
Second completion of the game. Dre Egyptiaku becomes the first Silver Streaks receiver with two pass catches. And that snaps the three straight incompletions by Ayton to get back on the right side of things. He's got 62 yards passing in the game. Through the air again to the far side of the field. Stutter-stepping, Grant Ayton gets past the initial defender, gets the first down as he takes a couple of defenders with him across the 30 to the 31-yard line, a gain of 11.
Pretty savvy move for a sophomore, Grant Ayton, because he got the ball out there that time. And if he would have panicked and just taken off, I don't think he gets nearly as much, but he was able to look at the play in front of him, see the bodies were in front of him, and decide which way to go, and then went ahead and turned it towards the Streak sideline, was able to pick up those extra yards we needed for another first down.
Actually mark it at the 32-yard line for a gain of 12. And the short passing game used to be called the West Coast offense, right? Just those little short passing plays. They don't call it that anymore. Three wideouts, trips right to the Silver Streaks. One to the top of the field. Ayton looks that direction, throws that direction, and right through the hands of Dre Egyptiaku, who was open, about 4 yards open. Wasn't enough for the first down, and he probably wouldn't have gotten it with a defender closing in quickly, but he just dropped it second down.
You talked about that West Coast offense. It's changed the broadcasting world, too, because we used to have 45 seconds in the middle of every play to they go back and huddle. We had things to talk about. Well, now you got to say what you've gotten and get off because they're ready to line up. It makes for a better fan game. You get to see more plays in an afternoon.
5:04 to go. I think Centralia lined up offsides. Happening, yep. On this side of the field, the press box side of the field, looked like some defensive confusion, and Deshaun Mitchell came running up out of the defensive slot to go man-to-man against Justice Gatson. And as he ran up to get into position, the ball away, and he went too far, and he lined up in the neutral zone. So that gives the Silver Streaks 5 yards. It'll be second and five now from the 37-yard line. So basically the 5 or so yards they didn't get on the dropped pass a moment ago, they get on the penalty here. Nose of the football, far hash mark of the 37-yard line. Second and five, Silver Streaks. Vaynerman in motion. Ayton, fake handoff, throws a wide open Alex Egyptiaku, and he overthrew him. If Alex could have brought that one in, if Connor would have found him on the run, it may have gone all the way, but he overthrew him by a couple of yards at the Centralia 45.
Yeah, I think he might have got a fingertip on it, but just a little bit too far out there on the throw. You know, it's interesting. My wife said, what do you expect this game to be like last night? I said, well, judging from what we saw last week, it might be like the Bears-Packers game Monday night that ended up 10-3, and we may not even get that far. We're scoreless with under 5 to go here in the first half, and both defenses, as advertised, have been pretty good outside of the Ellsberg opening drive. Thought we were going to get on the board there early, but then unable to convert that field goal that got blocked, and that's really been the only scoring chance either team here this afternoon.
Yeah, and then the Silver Streaks 2 plays later on Centralia's second play from scrimmage. Forced a fumble and recovered it, but couldn't make anything happen on that possession either. So third and five now. Ayton looking left, now rolling right. Looking downfield, still has it, gets it away and throws it away with the pressure on. And now a flag comes in well after the play is over. And what do the officials see? Are they going to call roughing the passer on Marcus Isaiah, who was...
Well, he was closing in a hurry there.
He was.
And if it was his closing speed, I think, that really blew the play up. I think the Streaks had hoped to maybe be able to roll Ayton out for a little bit longer that time, but he had to just unload it because Isaiah was coming on him so fast.
Yep.
That's grounding.
Oh, really?
Well, I guess really wasn't anybody out there, but you don't see that call. So you lose the down and the yards, right?
Where's Coach Washabaugh over there? He's talking to the official. Of course, that... I'm sure the judge on that side of the field saying, "What, my call? I didn't make it."
See that guy clear over there on the other side? That's the one you want to talk to, but he's unavailable. No, Mike doesn't seem to. I think it's one of those that doesn't get called a lot, but yep. I think he realizes well in the way the rule is formed that probably was grounding.
So 15-yard penalty and the loss of down. So the Silver Streaks will have to punt. We've got a traditional punt formation here with the three lead blockers. They do not put a rush on, and the directional kick by Ayton to the far side of the field toward the sideline bounces across the 50 and then takes a nice Galesburg roll down to about the 38-yard line of Centralia. So Ayton gets the job done, and the punting game continues between these two, and 4:42 to go here in this opening half of a scoreless game.
Well, I guess we would have a strong listenership this afternoon based on the amount of fans in the stands. It's a long drive, so I'm counting about 40, maybe 40 or 50 of the Galesburg faithful making the trip down here for the game, but it's about a four-hour drive, so appreciate all those that made the trip and all those that needed to stay home and tackle a few other things today. They're listening to us here on WGIL, and hopefully we can get you a Streaks victory. Right now we're still dead even at zero.
Probably the kind of thing you and I'd be doing if we were home, right outside, working in the yard with the radio on, listening
to better than a Saturday afternoon. Yep,
listening exactly. To a football game. All right, Centralia's ball, 4:42 to go, first half. The snap, the handoff. They go back to the running back, Kewan Brown, stretched out to the outside. Never could cut the corner. There's Hunter Davina again on the tackle. Just stretched him out. Couldn't make it happen. Goes as a loss of three. And there's that guy. You know, if you weren't with us in the pregame, Jim talked with defensive coordinator Marty Turner in the pregame, and you asked something that stood out. He said, Hunter Davina.
He said last week he was just everywhere, and he's going to have a good season. So hopefully the Streaks defense can stay this strong all year. They'll face some lot harder offenses to look against here pretty soon.
And again, just a sophomore. So they go with a halfback option, but now pressure. Ooh. And then Nico Delagiannis throws off balance. Oh, who was that?
Marcus Isaiah.
As they went to the halfback option, the handoff to Isaiah, and he rolled right, and then he squared up to throw the ball, and Nico was pounding hard from the backside. Isaiah saw him coming at the last second and turned to get away from him, and as he scrambled away, he slipped and fell down. And they're all the way back at the 21-yard line for a loss of 15.
Yeah, that was probably the last thing outside of a fumble that Coach Brennison wanted to see for Centralia. That's a big loss back in your own territory. When they got the ball with about a little over four minutes left, they're probably thinking, well, maybe we can have the final possession of the half. Well, now here we are. They're second and 21. And the Silver Streaks, I'm sure, thinking about getting a big stop here and getting the ball back in some good field position.
So they lost two on the first play from scrimmage, lost 15 on the second play, and the Streaks have called timeout here to stop the clock with 3:44 to go in this first half, anticipating being able to make a stop here on third and 27. Well, let's call it third and 30. The ball's all the way back at the 18.
Wow.
Or sorry, at the 22. They do have to get to the 48-yard line, so more like third and 26.
Oh, okay.
To be specific.
I was looking at the scoreboard, still has it. Okay, now it is third and 27. Yep, okay. A little slow on the trigger there.
So let's see if the Silver Streaks keep the blitz on or if they go conservative and just try to make a stop. Handoff goes to the right side and trying to get to the outside, Corey White. And they string him out to the far side, to the 30, about the 31-yard line. So he gets about 10 of it back, but it's still third and about 18. And the Streaks use their second timeout.
Well, Carr did a nice job for Centralia just getting what yardage he could get and holding on to the ball, because Max Carr and I'm not sure who else is over there for Galesburg, but they were not only tackling him, they were tackling the ball too. You'd love to get that strip in this position and get that big turnover, but Carr had it wrapped up pretty well and wasn't going to turn it over. You know, we're looking at the Centralia High School looking that direction right now, which I think is to the south. We pulled up here and thought, wow, that's a beautiful school.
Yeah.
It is a big, new, I mean, they told us it's 14 years old. Looks like it's brand new. But got a chance to go into the basketball court. Their athletic director is also their head basketball coach, Lee Bennett, who, for people in the southern part of our listening area, might remember that name. He was the former basketball coach for the Avon Trojans many years ago when he was fresh out of school.
Excellent job on that connection, by the way.
Yes.
You were all over that
so
one.
It was just cool. I hadn't seen Lee since he left. He's been up to Dakota. He was down in Alton for a few years, and he settled here into a great basketball haven of Centralia, and he loves his job here.
All right, Streaks send Nico Delagiannis back after those last couple of punts by the Orphans were so good. Isaiah standing back there. Streaks put on a little pressure, and now a flag as he gets the punt away and brings that play to a stop. Flag on the far side of the field was a false start against Centralia. Streaks happy to take that.
This could be a very key part of this ball game. If Centralia keeps moving backwards, and if they don't get some sort of a booming punt, if we could get a punt return here and put ourselves, you know, maybe inside the 40-yard line.
Takes the ball back to the 27. Yeah, so they've lost on this series. They've lost two. They've lost 15. They got 11 of it back. Now a 5-yard penalty.
Well, I think it was their previous series that they went way back, wasn't it, with a couple of sacks and a big 15-yard penalty. They're piling up the negative yardage here in the second quarter. That Centralia offense, which we knew was not very potent.
Oh, they want to add 4 seconds to the clock.
This truly is one of those games. If one of these teams breaks a big play, somebody misses a tackle, you know, a punt return, something like that, that could turn the whole tide of this game one way or the other, because it doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of points this afternoon.
Yeah, and when you're coming off a 1-8 season and looking for those moments to try to get you over the top, oftentimes it's exactly that kind of a moment that keeps you continuing to look for those moments and continuing to struggle. But both teams are hoping to avoid here. So they get the clock reset to 3:36 now. Ball between the 26-27-yard line of Centralia. Nico Delagiannis standing at his own 42. And the punt gets blocked. He shanked the punt, and the Silver Streaks were able to be right there. And the ball is going to be down back at the 26-yard line. Now a flag comes in at the end of the play. Isaiah went running up and jumped on the ball.
And that kick, I don't know, did it hit somebody in the back? Or, I mean, it didn't get very far off the foot.
Well, it's exactly what you were talking about earlier in the game. He shanked the punt, and the punt hit one of the Silver Streaks as they were coming up on it.
Okay.
Now, the penalty at the end of the flag, I saw the official who dropped the penalty flag at the end of the play swing his leg out as if to indicate kicking, like somebody kicked somebody. So we got a long conversation over there. This would be really unfortunate if the Streaks are going to get called for some sort of personal foul penalty.
This is exactly what we wanted, to get that ball in great field position, 3:27 on the clock.
The ball's sitting at the 32-yard line right now.
It's going to go one way or the other.
And the Streaks have one timeout remaining with under 3.5 minutes to play of a scoreless game. So this decision is going to be real key on the Silver Streaks.
Both coaches waiting. I'm not sure either one has an idea what's going to get called here, because usually you'll see one guy that's unhappy. And
well, after Isaiah's punt, technically, I guess, got blocked, he's the one who went scrambling for it. The ball came down when it hit. It came down at the 26-yard line, which is where the marker is indicating. Oh. All right, so personal foul against... against Centralia, and then the official kicked the leg out, so I guess somebody must have kicked somebody. But, of course, the Silver Streaks waved that off. So Galesburg is going to have it. And the ball sitting at the 20, about the 28-yard line.
I got excited. I thought that it was going to be one of those they tacked it on after the play. But we'll take what we can get here. We got plenty of time and a short field to work with to get the lead here before we go in the locker room.
And a timeout remaining. Out of the I formation. Ayton, play action. Rolling right. Looking toward the sideline. Pass underthrown. Intended for Justice Gatson inside the 20-yard line. It'll be second and 10 from the 28.
And I thought they could have called a hold. David Vaynerman was trying to roll out to the right there and become a short target for Ayton, but somebody had a hold of his jersey, and he couldn't get away from him until, well, after Connor had already decided to throw the ball a little farther down the field.
Streaks have, well, three, at least three who will line up as well. They've got Vaynerman and Dylan McBride in the backfield, split on either side of Ayton out of the short gun. He hands off to Vaynerman, gets a pass, one tackle in the backfield, and then wrapped up at about the 23-yard line. Tackle made there by Nick Henson. The line spot from the far side. Second carry of the game by Vaynerman. Caught a gain of six. It'll be third and four for the Silver Streaks. Again, one timeout remaining.
Yeah, so the clock not really a problem looking right at it with about 3 minutes to go. So it's more the down situation than it is the clock right now.
Streaks one out of five on third downs in this game. They converted their first third down opportunity of the game and haven't done so since. 2:45 and counting in a scoreless game. McBride in the backfield. Vaynerman the up man. Connor after the fake handoff, scrambling left and has nowhere to go. He had to sidestep Isaiah, who tried to cut him off on the sideline. He got inside of Isaiah, but once he did that, there were two red jerseys there ready to make the tackle, and Connor's brought down at just outside the 23-yard line.
One of them was sophomore linebacker Eli Shaw. He's been on a lot of hits today for Centralia. They, like Galesburg, a lot of good sophomores on this team. And also big number 72, we mentioned him earlier, James Veller, 6'8". That's I don't know that he's that tall or not. They may have enhanced that, but he's a big kid.
Streaks line up to go for it on fourth down. They do have one fourth down conversion. There's the screen play again. Pass complete to Vaynerman, brought down at the 17-yard line. A yard past the first down marker, but there's a flag down over here on the far side of the field, and looks like he's indicating ineligible receiver downfield. That's what it is. So I don't know who got too far out of position there along the Streaks line, but somebody got too far downfield, and that's going to negate what would have been a first down by a yard.
You know, Veller, who was in on that last tackle, is he the one you mentioned to me on the way down that was being looked at by some D1 schools?
Toledo, specifically, I guess,
okay.
Yeah, from what I've heard.
Because he is tall, but I don't know that he's quite the hitter that a couple other guys they have on that team are, but he's certainly got the size.
Listed at 6'8", 250. So it's now fourth and nine. How does this change the play call? So that's a big penalty against the Silver Streaks. Again, those kinds of things when you're trying to break out of a 1-8 season, it seems like those are the kind of penalties when you negate what would have been a big play and a first down that just keep getting you, keep biting you.
Well, we still got one more shot here. You know, as we saw last week, if you can just get the ball into the hands of one of the Egyptiakos, great move he had in that secondary, made the touchdown against Dunlap last week. It's just a matter of getting the ball to some of these guys in some open space.
Fourth and nine, straight drop back by Ayton, steps up in the pocket, scrambles past one, and that gets tripped up and taken down by the ankles at the 30-yard line. The ball pops free at the end of the play. Centralia fans wanted a fumble because they were going to have the whole field in front of them, but the ball came out as Connor hit the ground.
Devontae Cunningham with the speed, tripping up Ayton when I didn't think he could get to him, and he did.
So it goes as a loss of nine. So the Silver Streaks are not able to take advantage of the terrific field position when they got the ball at the Orphans 28-yard line, and Centralia takes over with a minute 32 to go in a scoreless, still, first half.
Well, I can see why the folks in Centralia are pleased with this defense that they have. It's got all the components. You don't have a lot of bulk inside, but enough, and then you've got, you know, the two guys with not only the height but also on the ends that can do some damage that are pretty good tacklers. And you got a couple of really speedy guys coming up from the secondary that can make tackles like Cunningham did there.
Handoff goes left, trying to bounce to the outside. Corey White spins out of one tackle, and now the rest of the Silver Streaks defense converges at the 29-yard line, or maybe he gets back to the 30 for no gain.
And their linebackers with McLean, the one we talked about is that was the leading tackler last week that's real solid in the middle, and then the Shaw kid that's the sophomore linebacker, he's 6'3 and 190 and a good sure tackler. So they're pretty solid at every position. Sometimes you look at a defense out there and think, well, let's go with this guy or that guy. I don't know if they've got that guy that you want to go at. You've just got to find a way to execute your offense and find some holes.
Second and a long 10 as they move the football about a length back behind the 30. Streaks show a little bit of creeping up at the line. Now miscommunication as White drops the handoff, tries to get to the outside where he's wrapped up and finally brought down there by Cannon Klein behind the line of scrimmage. That'll go as a loss of a couple, and it'll bring up third and 12. And I don't think Centralia is going to be in any hurry to get this one away. With the new 40-second clock here in high school football, they are not going to have to run another play as we are under 30 seconds to go.
Spinks also in the tackle that time for the Silver Streaks, and I've been complimenting the Centralia defense, obviously, but Silver Streaks defense has been more than up to the task today as well, because like we said, Centralia, the last three times they've had the ball, I think they've lost yards in their total drive, so they're not going anywhere in a hurry. And the streaks have been up to it. This is anybody's ball game at halftime.
Yep, it's going to be scoreless as we head to the locker room. So coming up here at halftime, we haven't even talked about this. Sean Icke on his What's Good at Galesburg High School, his discussion this week with Athletic Director Eric Matthews, and he checks in, as always, with Principal Jeff Houston. That's coming up at the half, and when we come back here, we'll have your first half statistics. We'll catch up with Streaks head coach Mike Washabaugh as well. Halftime, no score in Centralia. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by attorneys James Blake and Tricia Blake Miller at Blake Law Office in Galesburg, and by the UPS store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg. Proud to bring you the Silver Streaks on WGIL.
Did you know you can save about 50% on your air filters by having them cleaned rather than replaced? And Filter Service Center, now part of Mid-State Manufacturing, will even pick them up and deliver them back to you. Your filter's good as new. Filter Service Center at Mid-State Manufacturing.
Why does the living room go downhill?
Well, we saved a lot of money on the foundation.
There's some things that have to be done right to make sure your project turns out the way you want, like site prep, foundation, and concrete. So go with Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project.
RP Lumber is your source for anything from lumber and building materials to light bulbs and paint. RP believes buying materials should be the easiest part of any project, whether you're a contractor or a do-it-yourselfer. Come visit them today and experience the RP difference.
Kehoe Eye Care has expanded and now offers state-of-the-art vision care on the square in downtown Monmouth. Meet new doctor, Alexandra Brake.
I have a lot of experience with cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, and pediatrics. I really like working with kids. It's fun to get the little ones excited about the health of their eyes. I'm now accepting new patients, and I'd love to meet you.
For the most thorough exam available, make your appointment at Kehoe Eye Care, now in Monmouth and Galesburg. Schedule online now at KehoeEyeCare.com.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
Football and auto insurance are very similar in nature. In football, penalties can keep you from scoring, and with auto insurance, not having the right amount of coverage throws up a big flag. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. When I'm on your offensive line, you'll never have to worry about getting tackled, and our money-saving auto home discount is the extra point. Stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street and find out why Craddy and Rockford Mutual Insurance are the game-winning combination.
It's that time of year. It's football, volleyball, cheerleading, golf, cross country, and soccer. It's time to represent. And Elite Ink is the source for screen printing, embroidery, promotional products, and accessories to outfit your school, club, or business. Want the coolest graphics and freshest designs? You're going to love working with Elite Ink. Design services are 100% free. If you can think it, they can print it. Visit EliteInkPrinting.com and click on Start Your Order for a quote. Get in the game with Elite Ink, where it's more than just a t-shirt.
The official WGIL forecast, mostly sunny today, the high 78. Increasing clouds tonight, there is a 50% chance of some showers and thunderstorms overnight, below 59. Tomorrow it'll be cloudy, some showers likely through early afternoon, the high 69. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, low 60. Monday, partly sunny, 81. Tuesday, partly sunny, up to 88. It is 75 right now at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS Halftime Report on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Welcome to the Galesburg Centralia Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey with this week's segment of What's Good at GHS. As always, we have Principal Jeff Houston with us. But this week's spotlight is on GHS Athletic Director, Mr. Eric Matthews. Mr. Matthews, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're now in your second year as District Athletic Director. How is the start of this year compared to last?
Well, I think with any position where you have more time to get more comfortable, things just get a little bit easier. You know, this year, being able to be in, you know, all of the summer and getting things ready for the fall, it's just more easier. You're just getting more organized. Everything just kind of, you can kind of get everything in place sooner than later. Obviously, last year I was coming in a little bit later, and with everything being new, just kind of felt like I was always behind a little bit. So, you know, being here a year and getting my feet underneath me and making those relationships with those individuals and coaches and parents and administration make things easier moving forward. And then, you know, like I said, kind of being here this summer, just getting all those things finalized for the fall. So when we came back in August, we just hit the ground running and we were ready to go.
You know, for me, as being a previous coach and you being around sports all the time, you can appreciate, too, that this year the calendar reset and games are moved back. I think that helps out, too, in terms of getting things ready for you as well.
Yeah, every 4 or 5 years, the calendar, it rolls back like it did this year, about 6 days. And it looks a little unusual, but it's, you know, it's all corresponding dates from year to year. This time it gave us a little extra time to kind of get things set and in place before we got going. And then every year it'll slowly kind of creep back up to what seems more normal, and then it'll roll again. So it just gave us a little bit of extra time for everybody to make sure that we were on the same page and ready for the fall.
So we're off the new season this year with the sports that are happening. How are things going? Do we have any highlights? I know the season's young, but do we have any highlights so far?
We sure do. Actually, the boys soccer team went to Sterling on Tuesday night and came home with a victory. So in the early season, they're 4-1, have some of the highest numbers we've had out in a while. So things are looking pretty good there, and we've got some injuries there. So we're not at full capacity yet for those young men. So I think when they get everybody back, they should be, you know, even a little bit further along than they are now, which is encouraging. You know, volleyball is off to a 5-2 start. They went down to Quincy this past weekend and got fourth down there. So they have started the season on a positive note already. Golf has been going for a while. We're pretty young there in both programs. We weren't sure numbers wise what we were going to have, but both coaches did a great job recruiting kids and getting them out. And so we've got two full teams on the boys and girls side. And with them being young, they'll only get better as the season gets going. And swimming just started the other day, their first match. Obviously football has gotten going, and then girls tennis is going. So across the board, our numbers are up besides golf and everything. Hopefully we can continue that trend as we move into winter.
The Booster Club president is Mr. Lance Eaton. But could you comment on the role of the Booster Club and how what they do for all sports and how people in the community itself, you know, our listeners, could donate to that club as well?
First off, if anybody wants to help donate, probably time is probably the biggest thing they can donate is to get active in the Booster Club. You know, they meet once a month to go over, you know, upcoming events, you know, things that they help with, whether it's tournaments we're hosting, whether it's the Hall of Fame. Obviously, they have their annual golf outing. They sell their raffle tickets, and they'll have their dance in the spring. So anybody that can help, time is probably the biggest thing that they can help donate. And then, you know, as far as the relationship with the Booster Club, it's been a great experience thus far. We work very well together. They've done a lot of great things for me in the short amount of time I've been there, as far as, you know, bringing things to them that I think are more wants than needs. We've got, you know, cross country. We got them a new tent. We've got a bunch of, you know, we're replacing our hurdles right now for our track and field program. So we've got a rotation going through to get those replaced. We got some new chairs for the field house last year. We've had some money directed towards the baseball program to help get them a field tarp. So those are just a couple things that they've been able to do the last couple year, you know, the last year and a half that I've been here. You know, really, it's one of those things. I kind of just bring things to them that I think are wants that we can't specifically get through the school district. And, you know, and they've been very open and just anything that I think that, you know, would be great and benefit the programs just to bring it, you know, bring it to them. So we do a good job of making sure that we sprinkle it across all athletic programs instead of just one. And I know one other thing I forgot is they've helped with some of the cheerleading, some cheerleading equipment too. So it's the whole spectrum of all the programs.
So as athletic director, could you explain your role in the upcoming construction and what changes we should expect to see at the junior high as the junior high transitions to the high school?
Just being in the beginning stages of that question is really right now it's, you know, meeting with coaches, you know, kind of brainstorming with them on, you know, currently what we have, what do we need to renovate, you know, what we currently have, and then kind of moving forward on what we think we need as a coaching staff. You know, we've still got Lombard, and I think that's a facility that we're still going to still continue to use in some capacity, but we're going to have to really sit down and think about how we can make this all fit. You know, you can upgrade the facilities and renovate the facilities, but then, you know, we may have to practice in the morning sometimes. We may have to go a little later at times. I think it's just, it's going to have to be a collection of everybody working together to kind of make it work. But right now, I'd say the biggest thing is we've got to do a little bit of renovating here, you know, and specifically with like Y-Call so we can use that facility more. We get that up to where it needs to be. I think that would be great for us.
All right, certainly exciting times. Again, that was Mr. Eric Matthews, the District Athletic Director. Now let's talk with Principal Jeff Houston about the past week of school and what excitement lies ahead.
This week, we've set up for what we call our GHS Lucky Five Art Show, and those are five students who received some donations from Dick Blick, and they will be on display down at the Civic Arts Center this weekend. So I encourage everybody to get down on Main Street and take a look at some of the art work of our students. We've got a lot of very gifted students. And we had our college and career fair this week where we had many colleges represented, four-year colleges such as you know, Illinois College, Augustana, Illinois State, Illinois Wesleyan, Western Illinois, University of Illinois. And we had some two-year colleges, our own Carl Sandburg College in our backyard, Blackhawk and Midwest Technical Institute. But also what was nice is we had the military represented, all branches of the military here to talk to our kids. And then we also had some workforce people, some of our community partners, Berkey's, Dick Blick, Jupiter, and some of our labor and trades people were in-house. So a lot of opportunity for our kids to get to meet people and start their networking. And we had that go on this week.
All right. Thank you for that. Now, what do we have coming up next week? What are some highlights coming up?
We just had our class meetings this week or last week, and we talked about, you know, get involved, stay involved, see something, say something. And so, you know, those are the two areas that we talked with our kids about. By getting involved, we got our fall play audition starting this week, which is kind of a cool thing. And then we're starting our school improvement process. We're starting our planning meetings and talking about our year's goals, and then we'll be sharing those goals with our district. And then the district also has district goals, so we'll be sharing those out to our stakeholders in the community and our advisory board there. And then we have some work on the 20s with our faculty coming up where we're going to be looking at our assessments and trying to strengthen our assessment work in our school.
Okay, thank you. That's a wrap for this week's halftime show regarding what's good at GHS. Thanks again to District Athletic Director Mr. Eric Matthews and Principal Jeff Houston for their time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats, a second half action against Centralia on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The top stories of the day and so much more. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
This
is a Fox News alert. Hurricane Dorian upgraded now to a Category 2 storm as it bears down on Canada. Fox News meteorologist Rick Reichmuth.
With tropical storm warnings across Cape Cod and the islands, a storm pulling off towards the northeast, potentially making landfall as one of the strongest storms ever across areas of Newfoundland. So we're not done with this at all.
More than 1,100 Bahamians have been evacuated to Florida. New Hampshire holding its Democratic Party convention. Former Vice President Joe Biden shared his motivation to run.
I said after we saw those folks walking out of fields carrying torches in Charlottesville that we were in a battle for the soul of this nation. And we are. That's why I am running for president.
The Granite State is the first in the nation primary. And Tehran taking its third step away from the 2015 nuclear deal. America is listening to Fox News.
If your business utilizes equipment with air filters and dust collectors, let Midstate Manufacturing save you money. Filter Service Center, part of Midstate, specializes in the sale and service of every kind of filter. And they clean them too, which provides 95% efficiency at half the price of replacement. Get on their delivery route today.
Well, how's the house selling going?
Not good. We've only had 2 showings and 0 offers. It's been a month. How long did it take to sell yours?
Not long, but we used Century 21. Each listing gets its own website, video virtual tour, and a link to share, so your house gets tons of publicity.
That would help.
They have the largest office in town with 19 agents. They will get your house sold.
For over 60 years, your friends and neighbors have gone with Century 21 Tucker Swanson. When you're ready to buy or sell, visit century21gillsburg.com or call 34Homes today.
Robert, there's water running down the stairs. Do something before it ruins all the carpeting and walls.
Too late, sweetheart.
Hi, folks. This is Neil Thomas with Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Don't get caught off guard with a catastrophe like this. Sign up for our annual plumbing maintenance program. We'll do a complete inspection of all your plumbing as well as your sanitary sewer and give you the peace of mind you deserve knowing your plumbing is in good condition. Call us today at 342-HEAT for more details. You'll be glad you did.
Right there where that giant tree is, that's where I want the garage. And then I want the sidewalk to wind around where those bushes are.
Need site prep, foundation, or concrete? Call Courtright Construction. They understand how pivotal those beginning tasks are. Give them a call for your next project. Courtright Construction. Of Oneida.
It sounds good on AM, but sounds even better on FM. 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.
Halftime here at Centralia. Silver Streaks and Centralia in a scoreless tie. Let's run through the scoreboard brought to you by Courtright Construction in Oneida, the right choice for your next project. And then we'll catch up with Streaks head coach Mike Washabaugh in the Western Big Six last night. Geneseo was a 41-0 winner over Chicago Lakeview. Moline lost to Lyle Bennett Academy 28-19. Quincy also fell, losing to Alton 22-12. United Township got its first win 40-14 over East Peoria. Quincy Notre Dame 21-17 winner over Alleman. Rock Island defeated Metamora 35-14. And Sterling knocked off Pekin 47-14. Elsewhere, Abingdon Avon lost to Princeville 35-7. It was Knoxville defeating Rushville Industry. I lost track of that score now all of a sudden. United lost to Hayworth 34-6. And let's see, sideline. There goes Jim. He's going to catch up with Mike Washabaugh here really quickly. Again, we're scoreless in Centralia. Silver Streaks had a scoring opportunity, had a blocked field goal, then blocked a Centralia punt, but couldn't make it happen. Let's find out what the coach has to say about it, Jim.
All right, well, here we are at halftime, Coach, and we thought it'd be a defensive battle coming in. It's been maybe even more of that than we thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, we're stubbing our toe. You know, we lost John Pepmeier here for this game. Pumped around to find the right guy. Fill that hole. Defensively, we're still playing lights out. You know, we sat on a couple screens. That's what their big hitters were last week. We've got to be able we're getting tense. It's just we're not blocks, and then now they're starting to heat it up a little bit, so you just got to trust your rules, you know, so we're just kind of sputtering out on a couple of these drives.
You've been pushing them backwards most of the second quarter. Do you tell the defense to tackle the ball a little bit to try and make something happen here?
Some of their plays they're creating are on broken plays where it's a bad snap, and, like, they just kind of fit outside of the leverage. And, yeah, I mean, we know what we need for the next 7 weeks for the Big Six, so we've got to be able to dig the screen, bubble them back 2 yards and play flat on the line. So, I mean, even – it's a little bit different style of game than what we see in conference. Like, we still got to continue doing that because, you know, next week Geneseo is going to come in double tight, you know, and they're going to scrimmage. So we have to continue doing what we're doing defensively, and we've got to be able to clean up some of our bust on offense.
make a big break here and get this one today.
Yep, thank you.
All right. Brad, back to you.
Thanks, as always, to Streaks head coach Mike Washabaugh, joining us here at halftime. Again, scoreless between the Streaks and Centralia. Our halftime coaches interview and our halftime stats brought to you by Century 21, your local leader in real estate. And not a whole lot of stats to get excited about, but again, good defense by the Silver Streaks has limited to Centralia to just 21 yards of offense in the first half, 17 on the ground and 4 through the air. Davin Tabor, 2 for 4 passing. One of those went for -2. The leading receiver is Marcus Isaiah with a 6-yard catch. Silver Streaks, meanwhile, 29 yards on the ground. Dylan McBride, the leading rusher in the game, 5 carries for 21 yards. Connor Ayton, 7 for 13 passing for 74 yards, the leading receiver in the game. Dre Egyptiaco has a couple of catches for 34 yards. Grant Ayton, 2 catches for 17 yards. And McBride has a 10-yard catch. Aaron Carl has a 7-yard reception, and Justice Gatson has a 6-yard catch to account for the Silver Streaks offense. Gelsberg 1 for 6 on third downs in the game. Centralia 0 for 3. The Silver Streaks have 50 yards in penalties, and they have come at inopportune times for both teams. Centralia to receive the second half kick, and here it comes underway. Olivas runs up to it, and it's a short kick taken at the 21-yard line on the far side of the field. Running to the near side, Alden Brazel, and he's tackled there. And a good stop made by Cannon Klein as he crosses the 30 to about the 33-yard line, and we are underway in the second half of a scoreless game.
Now, one thing that we might have on a Saturday afternoon that you don't usually get in a Friday night high school game is sunburn down here. I never thought of that. And that sun, we're looking at it all afternoon. It's bright. But I figure Coach Mike Washabaugh probably going to have one too. So we'll deal with that, anything to get a Streaks win here today. And again, it could just be one big play that decides this game, and let's hope it's made by Gelsberg.
Davin Tabor, the quarterback, the up man, with the handoff to Kiwan Brown, and no gain on first down. In fact, I don't even know if he got back to the line of scrimmage. A couple of the officials standing there at the 30, so it goes as no gain.
Yeah, he got wrapped
good start
up as soon as he hit the line of scrimmage by a number of Streaks. I think Jeremiah Morris was the first man there, the sophomore, another one for the Silver Streaks. Doing a lot of good at varsity level here already.
Second and 10 from the 35-yard line. First carry of the game. Our first carry of the second half, rather, for Kiwan Brown. He was the leading man on the ground, 5 carries, 15 yards in the first half. Same formation. They go that direction again. This time the handoff to Corey White, who gets some room to run and knocked out of bounds at about the 47-yard line, maybe. Where are they going to mark it exactly? They got one of the officials. He didn't get to the 40. There he goes. He backs up a little bit. Gain of 7. It'll be 3rd and 3.
Probably one of the big gains they've had since the first quarter.
Yeah.
Not been many openings there for this Centralia offense.
They've had 4 carries on the ground that have gone for 7. That's been their biggest offensive play in any format, and White's had 2 of those carries. Back to pass, going long.
Uh-oh.
Man open as the Streaks defense falls down, and it's incomplete right through the fingertips of Deshaun Mitchell.
Wow.
Dylan McBride fell down in coverage, leaving Mitchell wide open. It just went off his fingertips, incomplete.
Oh, what a break we got there, because
he was
15 yards ahead of anybody, all alone. He literally could have walked into the end zone if he catches it. But it was just a little overthrown, and so we caught a big break there.
So 4th down. Silver Streaks again send Delajanis back, but now he's going to creep up. He's up to the Centralia to the 4th. Now he backs up again. So the punt from Isaiah, now a flag. And the Streak sideline wanted a false start. That's what they get, so back it up 5 yards. Remember, the Centralia was able to draw the Silver Streaks offsides on a series earlier in the game, and if they'd been able to do it there, they would have gotten enough yardage for the first down, but it's Centralia who jumps, and it takes it back to 4th and 8 now. And now the Silver Streaks with an empty field downfield. They put the rush on, and the kick is away to the far side of the field and bounces out of bounds. A short kick out at the 45-yard line, and the Streaks have good field position to start the second half with just a minute gone, 10:57 to play in the third quarter.
There's one of those we talked about that was on the scouting report. I think that qualifies as a shank when the ball's spinning sideways like that and goes out on the sideline.
Got it high up in the air, didn't he? So from the Galesburg 45-yard line is where this drive starts. Silver Streaks looking, as Jim has indicated, for that big play to get this game going in their direction. The handoff to Dylan McBride, who battles for 4 yards on first down. Not much of a hole there, but Dylan found it, and he makes forward progress. It'll be second and 6.
Yeah, he's trying to follow his lineman up there. Ryan Morris again with the Silver Streaks. Number 60, Reed Hawkins, also there.
Well, we anticipated a defensive battle. I don't know that we anticipated a scoreless half, but that's how it's turned out. And we're just underway in the second half. First offensive possession for the Silver Streaks on second and 6. Running play to the right. More forward progress. It'll be a couple yards short of the first down as McBride carries it into Centralia territory to the 47. It'll be 3rd and 2.
Well, and sometimes the battle up front in the line, you can get some good things done, but these linebackers are so active for Centralia. They anything the line, you got these, especially two of these linebackers over here on the near side that are just excellent tacklers and very aggressive.
On third down, handoff up the middle, quick handoff to Cannon Klein, and he's got the first down and more down to the Centralia 35-yard line. Just that quick little sneaky handoff, and Klein was off to the races before the Centralia defense knew what happened, and he's all the way down to the 34-yard line on a pickup of 13, and that's one of the bigger running plays the Silver Streaks have had in this game.
Maybe one of the bigger plays overall to save possession and get some momentum here starting this half. You know, we went right down the field to open the ball game, but then came up empty. Let's hope we can cap it off with a score here.
Hand off to the right. Streaks keep it there on the ground. Big run by Dylan McBride. Cuts back and almost took it all the way, but a touchdown-saving tackle made at the 20-yard line down inside of the Centralia 19. And after a big third-down conversion by the Silver Streaks, they move the chains again for a gain of, where are they going to put the ball? Wow, all the way down to the 17-yard line. So Dylan gets 17 after Klein just gained 13.
Yeah, this streak sideline, you feel like we're running downhill right now.
And trying to get to the outside, Vaynerman spinning off attack, but a flag down. And that may negate any kind of progress there.
Don't want that.
No. After the Silver Streaks, kind of got some fervent activity going there on the far sideline. In fact, we heard, I don't know who it was coming through your microphone, Jim, but we heard the cheer loud and clear over there. And
I think this is against the Orphans.
Oh, I was writing something down on my sheet of paper. I didn't anticipate they were going to make that so quickly.
Yeah, so they tacked on another, looked like just 5 yards. Yeah, so the Streak's in business now, first and short.
Well, I wish I wouldn't have looked down. I don't know what the call was now. So a 5-yard penalty makes it 1st and 5. Ayton, play action, under pressure, screen pass into the end zone. Carl dives and can't come up with it. In the end zone, made a diving effort, got his hands under the ball before it hit the ground, but he just couldn't bring it in.
Yep, the ground just forced that out of his hands, but he did everything right there. Sure seems to be a whole lot more confidence on this Galesburg sideline here leading off the second half, and a couple of those big plays do it. Get the confidence going and see if we can't punch it in here.
Out of the wishbone formation. Hand off right. McBride tackled for loss in the backfield.
There's that
as Davionte Cunningham got into the backfield almost before they could even get the handoff. So it goes from 1st and 5 at about the 13 to 2nd and 5, and now 2nd and almost 8.
At Devontae Cunningham, I would be surprised if he doesn't be an all-conference pick this year for Centralia. He is so quick and knows how to get low. He tackles very well.
2-down territory for the Streaks, and another tackle for loss made. McBride again wrapped up and pushed backwards. And the Silver Streaks going backwards now after getting down to the 12, the 13-yard line, and pushed back to the 19. It'll be 4th and 11.
Senior lineman Tyler Farmer on the tackle there for Centralia. And, yeah, you're right. Just as we thought Galesburg was going to get something done here. The Centralia defense stands up, makes some big solo tackles. And now we're pretty much in the similar situation we were in the first half, although I think we're a little farther from the goalpost, aren't we, than we tried that field goal before? That was like a 28-yard field goal. This would be quite a bit farther than
closer
that.
Closer to a 35, and Blaze Purchase was a little stung there at the end of the play. Didn't see what happened on the far side of the field, but so
trainer
Brandon Terrell was out there quickly, and he's off the field, and now they'll line up to go for it on 4th and 11 from the Centralia 19 of a scoreless game. Under 8 minutes to play in the third quarter. Streaks can inside get to the 8 for a first down. Out of the short gun. Aiton, short drop, throws it up, intended for Carl, caught, and then knocked out of his hands in the end zone in double coverage. Aiton dropped it in there perfectly to the big Streaks tight end, and he just couldn't hang on to the ball. And again, good defense by Centralia to get their hands in there and knock it away.
It was. You got to credit both sides on that because the ball was thrown well by Aiton, put it right where he needed to. Carl gets his hands up there. If there wouldn't have been anybody around, he hauls that in for a touchdown. He was taller than the defenders, but they, from either side, were able to get hands in there and sandwich him and hit that ball. And you can't blame Carl. He made every effort he could there to catch that. It was a good play call. It was good execution and good defense by Centralia to deny the first score of the game.
So we remain tied in anything but a topsy-turvy game. Still scoreless, and Centralia takes over at its own 19, and the handoff to the right side, Corey White, and the ball pops free, and the Streaks there to recover it. It's Dylan McBride who picks it up. I don't know who knocked it loose, but the Streaks have their second fumble recovery of the game, and they have it at the Centralia 31-yard line.
Haven't we seen this somewhere before?
Like instant replay of the first half all over again, isn't it?
Streaks move down, their first possession, look like they're going to score. Don't. Centralia gets the ball, fumbles. Let's break the trend here, though, and have the Streaks pick up that. Get back down here and grab that.
So Gelsberg with the ball at the Centralia 31-yard line with 7:29 to go in this third quarter. Rolling right, Aiton looking, throwing downfield, and overthrown on the far sideline, intended for Dre Egyptiaco, I think.
Yep, and it was... it was thrown easily five yards out of bounds. It wasn't. It was not a catchable ball. That was Dre over there.
So second down. Again, scoreless game.
Centralia getting comfortable on their home field. First of three straight home games for the Orphans. You don't see that very often in high school, but that's the way the calendar laid out for them this year.
Second and 10, handoff up the middle. Alex Egyptiaco gets stood up just across the line of scrimmage. Ball kind of hung out there under his right, cocked in his right arm there a little bit. Centralia pushed him backward. He held on to it, a gain of 2 to the 29, and very quickly third down again.
You know, and with the couple of near misses we had on the passing game down at the end zone, you wonder if maybe the Streaks won't try and go to the air a little bit more, figuring that at some point we're going to make one of those happen.
Mike Washabaugh talking as we visited with him yesterday in advance of this game, saying in hindsight he thought maybe should have gone down the middle of the field a little bit more. He's tried it a couple times already here in the second half. Aiton looking down the sideline and man-to-man coverage. And battle between Egyptiaco and the defender, I think, is Cunningham, and the official looks like he's...
Staff is going bananas.
Yep, that's what I thought he was doing. So it's an interception in the end zone by Centralia.
It was away from the streak sideline over here, but when both go up for it and they both come down with it, they usually give it to the offense. And actually, when they – it was the streak player, Egyptiaco, that came off with the ball. So officials have got some splaining to do here with Coach Mike Washabaugh.
So what happened was as Aiton threw the ball into – the end zone, it was actually Cunningham, the defender, who had the better position. Egyptiaco being on a second ball, turn on field, and then had to come back for it. So he was coming in from the backside, so the defender had better position to come up with the ball, and My hunch is that that was the determining factor in how they ruled who had possession out of that. And the first play loses a yard from the Centralia 20. Well, that's as best as I can interpret that.
Yeah, that's right. He did have the position. There's no question. I attribute the streak sideline because even while the coaches were still talking with the official, the game started up again. And it's one of those where you could lose your concentration. Well, the streak's defense did not. They were even more fired up about not getting that call. And Hunter DeVina and David Vanderman and some others on that tackle on the first down run attempt by Centralia.
So second and 11 from the 19. Back to pass. Tabor rolling right. Looking downfield. Flags. Comes up, makes the catch at the 41-yard line.
This will come
back. And the streak stop Woolbright immediately after the reception. But, yeah, I'm confident that's holding.
Yep, already called it.
So that'll back up Centralia even more.
That's one, if you're a Centralia fan, you're going, oh, we finally got some big yardage. Never mind. Darn it.
Again, those kinds of things happen when you're coming off a 1-8 season and you just get so frustrated when you see the big play happen and watch the big play get come right back.
Well, we've got 5:46 in the third and the fourth quarter, but you start to already wonder, is this game headed for an overtime? Monmouth Roseville had one last night against Rockridge.
In dramatically different fashion.
Yes, and lost it. They can't find an extra point kicker over there, and so they've lost 2 in 2 weeks in heartbreaking fashion to Orion and Rockridge.
By 2 and by 1.
Yeah.
So, again, we mentioned penalties in this game have hurt both teams. They haven't been the incidental kind. Now they pack the line in tight. The handoff goes to the running back, Brown, who tries to get to the outside, and the streaks read it well, string him out and push him back, and they may have lost more yardage. And the one thing you got to be careful here on a play like that is you got to play through the whistle. You don't want to play beyond the whistle.
Sure.
They are fired up. There's no question. So mark it back another yard to the 8-yard line now.
Yeah, and this team seems to play under some pretty good control, aggressive but not stupid. Over the years ago, we used to see some streaks teams that just did not play smart. We're constantly getting personal fouls late in plays, but I haven't seen any of that conduct by this group, so to their credit.
So short gun for Tabor here. 4:40 and counting in the third quarter of a scoreless game. Centralia pushed back to its 8. They spread the field and a flag by the back judge, and that's going to be a delay of game, I would think. Those are about the only penalties that he calls at those particular times. And again, Jake and Sean were talking about it again last week. One of the changes in rules in high school football is the play clock now starts immediately as soon as the official puts the ball down, and it's 40 seconds instead of 25. So he walks off the penalty yardage, puts the ball down. That's where the 40 seconds starts, right there. And I think probably more incumbent than ever that high schools are going to have to start finding a way to get a play clock on the field. So 4:32 here in the third quarter. Quick pass to the outside is underthrown, and it bounces toward James Long, incomplete, as the Streaks had the rush in coming in from the quarterback's right side, and Centralia still without a third down conversion in this game.
Yeah, that was a pretty awful throw, but
yeah,
but it was probably just as well because that play wasn't going to go anywhere anyway. And it's a dangerous throw down there by your own goal line, too. Especially in a 0-0 game.
Well, especially when you got a defender coming in from that side of the offensive line, too. All right, so the Streaks, again, do not put anyone back downfield to try to get this punt. A low line drive kick, and Nico Delegiannis has to dive out of the way, and the ball squirts up to the 41-yard line.
That ball did not get more than 7 feet off the ground.
Yep.
That thing just is spinning like a top as it went over the helmets of all the players, and then it had the good fortune for Centralia to hit the ground and take an orphan's bounce. So even though the Streaks are getting to get the ball at the Centralia 41-yard line, which isn't bad, it could have been a whole lot better for the Silver Streaks had that ball just skirted somebody's helmet and deflected out of bounds there.
So still good field position for the Silver Streaks, who, as they did in the first half, showed the ability to move the ball, but not once they get down inside a position to score. Here's a nice run up the middle by Dylan McBride. Carries some of the defenders, and now Centralia fires. Plus, still down inside the 20, close to the 15-yard line. Strongest run by a Streaks running back we've seen through the first 1.5 games this season, and Dylan carried him down to the 18 for a gain of 23.
Well, sometimes you hear us say, well, it was a rugby scrum. Well, that was as much of one as you'll ever see, because there were just bodies on both sides pushing, and Streaks were helping their runner along the way, and he was determined, as the Streaks in good shape now.
You go right back to him. Finds a hole across the right side. Cut back to the middle to the 15-yard line. Inside the 10 before he's taken down at the 9. And a player comes in late at the end of the play for Gelsberg, falling down on top of McBride. That was Jeremiah Morris. But it'll be first and goal. Nope. Couple yards short of the goal, or the first down marker, I guess.
It sure has the feeling. Gelsberg has been moving it here in the second half, like maybe they're going to get the job done. But about the time we think that, watch for Centralia to come up with some big individual defensive effort and knock us back for a loss, and they're going to take a timeout to talk about it.
So we'll take a timeout as well, a quick timeout. 3:27 to go, third quarter of a scoreless game at Gelsberg with second and short inside the Centralia 10 at the 9. You're listening to Gelsberg High School Football at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Save time when you buy online at yemauto.com. This is Sarah Yem. Buying your next new vehicle at Yem has never been easier. Skip the paperwork. Save time at the dealership by doing the work from home at yemauto.com. With FastPass at yemauto.com, you can value your trade, personalize payments, or pre-qualify for credit. Save time by buying online. Structure your deal today by using FastPass at yemauto.com.
Tune in to Cardinal Baseball tonight as the Redbirds take on Pittsburgh. Coverage begins at 5:10 tonight.
Tune in for Cardinals Baseball on WGIL.
From Centralia, Brad Benowitz, Tim Lee with you. Scoreless game between the Streaks and the Centralia Orphans. 3:27 to go, third quarter. Gelsberg with a second and two coming up from inside the Orphans' 10-yard line. Fighting Illini just getting underway in their game against the University of Connecticut. We'll get you to that game when our broadcast is finished here from Centralia. Again, just under 3.5 minutes. And I here, though, Streaks have moved the ball here in the second half. Coming out of a Centralia timeout, Streaks line up in the wishbone. Hand off to the first man through up the middle. Cannon Klein, I think, and he moves the pile down to the 5-yard line, and still finally, the play continued all the way through until the officials blew it dead.
It was Klein, and he ran smack into James Veller, the 6'8 guy we were talking about in the first half.
And he moved him.
Yeah.
So the first and goal of the game for either team. The Silver Streaks got down not quite this deep into the territory earlier. This is their first opportunity at first and goal. And they line up with Vaderman and McBride in the backfield. The toss play, and it goes to McBride. Upside the 5, under about the 3. And it'll be second and goal for the Silver Streaks. The running game certainly has been the most effective for the Silver Streaks. Between the air and the ground game, it's very much been the running game that's been successful here in the second half. And they continue to keep it on the ground. And why not when you're down inside the 5 now? McBride with 73 yards on the ground rushing on 13 carries.
Yeah, you'd think he's a marked man right now, but Streaks are probably going to ride that horse again. Here he comes.
Dots the eye. He gets the handoff, pushes the pile forward, trying to get to the goal line, and he looks to be stopped just short. No indication from the official. He got close to the goal line and then was pushed backward at the end of the play.
He had his left hand on the backside of big Kane Johnson, number 64, right in front of him, trying to follow him through to that goal line.
It'll be third and goal from the Centralia 1. Streaks had a passing touchdown to Dre Egipciaco last week. Look for a rushing touchdown. Ayton bounces to the right and gets in for the quarterback touchdown. And the Streaks have dented the scoreboard finally with 2:18 to go in the third quarter. The first score of the game as they take a 6-0 lead, a 1-yard run by Connor Ayton.
Well, I look for the Orphans to be taking some chances defensively as soon as that ball was snapped, trying to make a big play. But I think Ayton was just a little too quick a foot that time and able to slide off the right side before they could move.
And instead of going for the extra point, they throw for two, and essentially wide open, Justice Gatson on the far side of the field for the conversion, and the Silver Streaks lead it 8-0 with 2:18 to play in the third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Looking for quality cabinets but don't think you can afford it? RP Lumber Designers can work with any budget. They'll show you how to have the quality cabinets you want at a price you can afford. They'll help you make your Pinterest dreams come true. Visit them today and experience the RP difference.
Get today's local news headlines in your email with the Morning Brief from WGIL News.
It's free.
Subscribe now at WGIL.com.
2:18 left in the third quarter from Centralia. Silver Streaks put together the first scoring drive for either team here in this game. Came after a great defensive stand that pushed Centralia back inside its own 10-yard. Got it from the 41. And plays to get it in there, 2 minutes off the clock. The kickoff to the far side of the field, received at the 8-yard line, and the run back underway by Marcus Isaiah to the near side. Now goes up the middle, a little bit of room to run, and then finally dragged down at about the 37, maybe the 38-yard line. Stop made there. Raheem Spinks in on the finish. Zach Ennis there as well. Good field position for Centralia, some of the better field position they've had in this game. The drive starting about 37.5 yard line.
Well, and over here during our timeout, Streaks were taking a look at Aaron Carl's right knee, and felt apparently everything's good. The coaches said he's good to go. Aaron said he's good to go, so nice to make sure that wasn't anything serious.
Pass play on first down. A short play thrown to the near side. Looked to be underthrown as looked like the legs went right underneath of Peyton Winters, but the official's going to say he made the catch at the 41-yard line, but it's just a gain of 3. He had to stop and kind of reach back for it, and that's when his feet went out forward in front of him. But official said he made the play. Second down, 7 from the 40 or 42-yard line. Looking long this time, Tabin looks downfield, and a reach and a catch by Max Carr on the interception. He runs it back to the 35, runs into a defender, slips underneath him, and then gets tripped up just short of the 40. And what a catch by Max Carr as he turns and reaches back for it, gets in front of the intended receiver, and the Streaks have their third turnover of the game.
Well, and it was predictable that that play was coming. I didn't know they'd go for it that quick. Last time, of course, they tried it. You might call Streaks defender fell down. They had a wide open that they just overthrew, and you knew that they were going to go try for that again because they're not gaining much of anything from scrimmage right now. They want to go for the home run, and the Streaks were up to it that time. Certainly Max Carr was, and a nice interception. And we've got some Dave's Auto Body crunch time play of the game candidates here in the last couple of minutes as Galesburg takes control.
Love that was an option, especially if the Silver Streaks can move this downfield and get some points out of it. To the right side, they go to Aaron Carl, and he's looking just fine as he slips some defenders and dives forward to the Centralia 35-yard line. And the Streaks have it going now.
It's fun to see the Streaks sideline. They were running down the field with Aaron Carl that time, and as he tackled Rocking Spinks and a few others were down there encouraging him, and they that he made to pick up more yardage, and Centralia was trying to tackle the ball that time. So Carl not only trying to pick up yards, but trying not to fumble. He did it all well, and Galesburg is on the move again.
So they're going to mark the ball at the Centralia 34-yard line.
And we got a player down for the Orphans over here, too.
Goes as a gain of 27 on the play.
Looks to be a cramp anytime you've got a trainer down there pushing a guy's toe forward and backward. That would probably be a calf cramp, I would guess. The thigh, they usually raise the leg up all the way, and this one looks like a... And this at that point of the game, it's a beautiful day, but down here on the field, it's stands block the breeze a little bit, and it's getting pretty warm, so this may not be the last cramp that we see on this field before the day's done.
Again, our thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Centralia.
I had never seen one of these before.
a Nissan Kicks.
Yeah, I got there. I said, what's that? He said, well, that's kind of the remade Juke. And it's a nice little vehicle. We enjoyed the trip down.
Yep. And you can't beat the price point either, as it starts under $20,000. And we have a 2018. Nice, sporty little vehicle. Plenty of trunk room for our equipment as we brought it down. And, again, don't forget to ask about the lifetime warranty available at Galesburg Nissan, corner of Henderson Street and Carl Sandburg Drive. Our thanks again for providing our transportation everywhere we go for Galesburg High School sports coverage here on WGIL. Hand off to Alex Egyptiaco after the injury timeout, and he gains nothing on first down. Again, at the Centralia 34.
Yeah, if we can just figure out the compatibility of the cell phone with the stereo system, we'll have it all done on the way home.
Yeah, just trying to use the navigation and trying to get the instructions to come in over the top of the Sirius XM that's still connected in the vehicle that we were enjoying on the way down.
Heaven forbid we'd have one of our songs interrupted for directions to get here.
Down to the final 40 seconds of the third quarter, Streaks leading Centralia 8-0. Second and 10, Galesburg from the Orphans.
Ooh, nice,
34.
Nice,
play
nice.
Action. Connor rolling left. Has a man open in man-to-man coverage. And the catch made and then knocked out of Dre Egyptiaco's hands at the end zone. Shoulders of Dre Egyptiaco. And a good pass coverage. The ball in there. Watches reached in. And Egyptiaco could really control the catch, and it'll be third and 10.
Well, and the ability to establish that running game in the last couple of series, I think, really sets that up, because Centralia got sucked in there, and then quickly Ayton rolls out to the left. There was nobody there. He probably could run for 10 yards if he wanted to, but he was pretty well locked on to trying to get that pass play, and he nearly made it happen.
So, our catch and run, Aaron Carl, that got the Streaks down to the 34. They've gone two plays with no gain. This is third and 10. Quick pass play to the far side, running up underneath it, and Grant Ayton can't quite catch up to it.
No.
Oh, nope, that's not Grant. That's...
That's the Gypsy Taco.
That's it, Dre, again? Okay.
Yep. Well, and
looked
and,
like he might have gotten a little bit held on the far sideline as he was trying to break free.
And no fault of Connor Ayton, because he was on his backside in a hurry that time. He had to get rid of that thing. He was pressured on two sides. Jacius Brown and Tyler Farmer both coming in there, and the pressure on him in a hurry. He just had no time to set up. He had to just throw and hope.
Now to 21 seconds, two straight incompletions have slowed down the final 40 seconds of this third quarter. Streaks line up to go for it on fourth down. Or will Connor just try to pooch one away? Nope. Straight drop back. Good protection. Slings it. Again, man-to-man coverage to Dre Egyptiaco, and it's knocked away. Same man-to-man coverage downfield by Corey White, and he's able to knock the pass away, and it falls incomplete, and the Streaks give it up on downs with 14 seconds to go in the third quarter, but leading 8-0.
I love that call. I love that. I mean, yeah, you could have a quick kick, but you figure, obviously, if your man catches the ball, it's wonderful. If it's an intercepted, it's no big deal, because you're clear down there by as good as a punt, clear down there by the goal line, and Ayton showing off a strong arm there, too.
Oh, yeah.
That was a nicely thrown ball. And when you've got one-on-one, they're going to keep working that, I think, because Egyptiaco, a good athlete, he can jump, and they're going to keep working that. And I mean, as long as it's not a big risk, at some point you're going to come away with that and get a touchdown out of it. So I love that call, even though it fell incomplete.
And you did mention the possibility that maybe you get a pass interference call, too, and then the penalty yardage gives you the first down.
Yep.
So Centralia takes over. Again, 14 seconds left here in the third quarter of an 8-0 Galesburg lead. A toss play to the right side, and the running back Brown trying to get to the outside, and he can't get back to the original line of scrimmage. He'll lose a yard as the Streaks defense continues to string things out and play very tight defense, and that's going to bring the end of the third quarter with the Streaks leading on the road at Centralia 8-0, heading to the fourth quarter when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Did you know you can save about 50% on your air filters by having them cleaned rather than replaced? And Filter Service Center, now part of Mid-State Manufacturing, will even pick them up and deliver them back to you. Your filter's good as new. Filter Service Center at Mid-State Manufacturing.
You thought winter was rough on you until you saw your driveway. Holy potholes! If you need help in the concrete department, call Courtright Construction. They're concrete craftsmen who have a reputation of exceeding expectations. Give them a call. Courtright Construction, the right choice for your next project.
Missing a minute could cost you big time. Tune in for the Clark Howard Show, weekday mornings at 9 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Three quarters gone at Centralia. Galesburg 8, Orphans nothing. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you.
There's so much confidence on the Streak sideline right now. It's fun to be down here with these guys because they sense the ability to maybe put this game away here. They're both sides of the ball. I mean, defensively, they felt good all day. But now the defense really encouraging the offense out there at times and liking what they did. And, you know, if you're against if you didn't have as much confidence in your defense, you probably punt that last ball. But the Streaks went for it on fourth down, and knowing their defense has just been terrific today, and they didn't have to worry.
Centralia sends three wideouts to the near side. Now some miscommunication, I guess, as Deshaun Mitchell runs back to the right side to get lined up there. The play goes to the right side, and the Streaks contain it for a gain of a couple, and a flag comes down, and finally they blow the play dead. They swung it over to Marcus Isaiah, who never did come down, but the officials finally blew the play dead, and we've got a holding against Centralia. It's coming back anyway. That's the first play of the fourth quarter. Galesburg leading 8-0. If you're tuning in expecting to hear the Illini, we'll get you to the Illini game after we're done here with our broadcast. That one's just started. Connecticut already leading 7-0 early first quarter there. Here, Galesburg leads 8-0 as we're just underway in the fourth quarter. And the holding penalty takes Centralia back to its own 26.
The Illini want to play Akron again this week.
Yeah.
What, 42-3 last week? That was nice.
Refreshing change for sure. Change in the right direction. That's Centralia's eighth penalty for 67 yards. It'll be second and close to 20. Rolling to the near side. The direct snap went to Isaiah, and he tries to work his way up the middle. Now he breaks free to the outside, and we've got a foot race on up the near sideline, and Max Carr had the corner, got him by the shoulders, couldn't bring him down, but he didn't knock him out of bounds. I don't see a flag down. He was contained up the middle of the field and then somehow came out of it. And Isaiah, with Centralia's biggest play of the game, takes it all the way down to the Galesburg 23.
And the guys on the Streak sideline here were saying, come on, don't let up now, don't let up. And I don't know there was necessarily a let up there, but it was one of those weird plays when it's just a one-score game, anything can happen. And it looked like they had him contained. They thought they had him, and then he breaks free and gets over onto the near home side sideline. They're all cheering for him, so he goes a little faster, and he nearly took that to the house.
Because it's a gain of 53. They didn't have 53 yards of offense the entire game, but he got 53 there, and now flags on a false start against the Orphans.
Yeah, everybody on the Streaks defense was pointing at their snapper there, 58. Nick, he was the guilty party. Moved that ball a little early, so Streaks have had many cases today where they've pushed the Orphans offense back, and let's hope they can do it again.
And off to the right side, they go back to Corey White, who got a little bit of room to run, and now he moves the pile forward before the Streaks are able to stop him, and the Silver Streaks are got
They're
some players
they
indicating
got
they've got the ball, and the official agrees. Somebody got in there and took the ball out.
Yeah.
And the officials have pointed the other directions, and the Streaks have it at the 20.
Max Carr is the one that comes away with it, and I think he just flat-out stole the ball.
Well, Max with an interception on Centralia's last series, and now a fumble recovery, or a fumble creation and recovery.
Yeah, it's funny. We were just talking on the way down here today because last week at Centralia stripped a runner and scored on a 20-yard run. And we had flashbacks to Boshe doing that on homecoming
That's
for
right.
the Silver Streaks
That's
years
right.
ago. And he ran about 80 yards with the one he took from Moline.
And the handoff goes left, and Dylan McBride doesn't get much. Picks up a couple as the Streaks take over at the Centralia 20-yard line with under 10:50 to go in the ballgame, and the Streaks leading 8-0. Well, I think we've got a real strong Dave's Autobody crunch time player of the game candidate now, don't we?
Yeah, I could think of two or three. I mean, a couple of occasions here and crunch times, I think.
And off to the right side, flag down. McBride trying to get to the outside, pushed backwards, and now the swarm is on, and he's taken down back at the 20-yard line. They're going to mark him down at the 21. Dylan a little shaken up, slow to get up, and that play is probably coming back anyway.
Yep.
And Dylan seems to be all right. So back at the 20.
I mentioned how strong the sun is down here on the field, and those of us that didn't think of that will have a little burn, but there are, let's see, one, two, three, four umbrellas. Some of the Silver Streak people that came out here were smart enough to say, you know, that sun could be a problem today, and they're staying in the shade. The rest of us, not so much.
Third and 10 for the Streaks. Cross direction.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Right, bounces off the man, tries to get to the outside. Hesitation move, but he does get the first down, getting across the 30-yard line to the 32. He was man-to-man against that linebacker we talked about earlier, Mark McClain. And when he stutter-stepped, I thought, oh, no, keep going, Dylan. But then he was able to get the angle and got enough for the first down. He picks up 13, and the Streaks with a big third-down conversion to keep the ball in possession.
And that was one of those plays that was coming at me. And if he could have just turned the corner, he could have run all day. But he had two fast defenders that were stringing him out towards the sideline. He was trying to get to the marker first, and he wasn't thinking touchdown. He was thinking first down, and he got it. But really good defensive pursuiter. That could have been a big gainer for Galesburg.
On first down, they get to the outside. This time it's Cannon running to the right, and he 40 close to the 41-yard line. He'll be about a yard short of the first down. And the Silver Streaks with second and short as they approach midfield, leading 8-0 with under 9.5 minutes to play in the game.
One of the big things the Streaks have done well today is ball security.
Sure enough.
Because Centralia is an opportunistic defense. They proved it last week. And you see them, they're trying to strip the ball out there. And the Streaks have been very stingy, holding on to that ball in a tight ball game to make sure they don't make a key turnover.
Second and two, toss play. McBride trying to get to the outside and wrapped up from behind. He may have gotten a yard as he got across the 40, close to the first down marker, and it'll be third and short.
Well, the beautiful situation here is if you can just keep running the ball and keep it in play and watch that clock run down and limit Centralia's chances.
Uh-huh.
So if you can, I would assume we probably won't put it in the air here on third and one since we have been running the ball pretty well, but it's been a weapon, too. I've been impressed with Aiton. And he hasn't completed a lot today, but he's shown me that strong arm, and he's put the ball right where it needs to be.
Straight eye formation on third and one. Handoff to the right. Oh, they got penetration in the backfield and had no chance whatsoever for Dylan to do much with that.
Yeah,
and he gets tackled back behind the 40, and they lose 2.5.
Tackled by the guy I've already bestowed all conference honor for, Devontae Cunningham for Centralia.
So a loss of two, and now the Silver Streaks trying to protect a one-possession lead. Clock winds down under 8 minutes to go. And
you got to kick this away.
Yep, you got to punt it away. You can't take any chances here with this kind of field position. At your own 39-yard line, Connor gets it away downfield. Nobody there to return. Takes a Galesburg roll inside the 20, and the Streaks will chase it down to the 17-yard line. Where Vaynerman downs it there, and 7:44 to go. Streaks turn it over to their defense, leading 8-0.
What do you think of the short drop? That makes me nervous. I mean, you know, you don't have much time as the punter from when you get that ball to when you've got to get that out of there because the line closes in on you quickly. He got it out. I prefer the deeper drop, but then you have more pressure, I guess, on your long snapper to do what he does well, and so I guess you can look at that one either way, but
good
kick, and it didn't hurt us that time.
Nope. Again, Streaks with three turnovers that they forced in this game. They've actually four. I take it back. They've created three fumbles and have an interception in the game. And now they've got Centralia backed up at the 17-yard line on the first play from scrimmage. Doesn't gain much of anything, if anything. Hand off to Kewan Brown. They'll mark him at the line of scrimmage for no gain. He's had a tough day of it. 8 carries, 12 yards.
Well, if you're Centralia, I'm not sure what their best option is. 7.5 minutes to go. The only two things that really worked for him today, one was kind of a busted play, the guy that able to break a tackle and run 53 yards.
That was Marcus Isaiah.
And then the long pass play that didn't work because it wasn't complete, but they may go there again.
Swings a short pass to the near side. The Streaks knock it loose after the pass is made, and the Streaks have another recovery with the ball stripped and taken over at the 10-yard line. It was just a little out pass to the outside, and it went off the Marcus Isaiah had it, and as soon as he caught it, the Streaks reached in, knocked it loose, And they have the ball at the Centralia 10-yard line with 7:03 to go in the game, leading 8-0, their fifth forced turnover of the game.
Wow, yeah, I don't think the swing pass and fumble was quite what Coach Brennison was looking for that time for Centralia. So the Streaks can ice this thing now.
I think it was Hunter Davina who ended up falling on it and securing the ball. Dylan McBride bounces to the outside, spins out of a wrap-up tackle, dives for the goal line, and got it! Touchdown, Silver Streaks! They had two would-be tacklers at the five, and their momentum running toward the sideline. McBride was able to stop and spin free, and then it was just a matter of diving forward for the goal line. The Streaks go with the muddle huddle. Aiden
nice,
with the keeper
nice.
Up the middle, and Ooh. He squeaks in for the two-point conversion.
Looked like the old Mike Hoskins outhouse play. I'm showing my age here, aren't I? That was vintage 1995.
16-0 Silver Streaks. 6:53 to go in the game. Galesburg on top by two touchdowns now. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Ever since the start of Toyota's national clearance event, everyone at Galesburg Toyota
sounds like this.
I'm GM Tony Batson. The discounts we're giving on all remaining 19 Toyotas are so deep, they're affecting our voices. We're talking
as low as they go.
Prices on 19 Camrys, Avalons, Highlanders, and more. It's the Christmas of car buying, and we call it Toyota's national clearance event. The sooner you shop, the better the selection. And eventually, I'm going to
take the sweet baritone on the road.
So come get your deep discount at the dealership that knows culture is everything. Buy local, buy with confidence, buy Galesburg Toyota.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
A one-play scoring drive after the strip catch and fumble recovery by the Silver Streaks. At the 10-yard line, Dylan McBride runs it in from 10 out. Connor Ayton with a two-point conversion. Silver Streaks lead 16-0 with 6:53 to go in the game. A kickoff by Olivas. A low wobbler down the near side, and Centralia gets a hand on it. Can't pull it in. The ball squibbles out of bounds. And the Orphans will have it at about their own 23.
That was a freshman for Centralia, Aiden Browsel. Probably not one he should have tried to grab. It looked like it might be headed out of bounds anyway. But I guess where it went out, isn't going to be that much shy where it would have been on a flag. So either way, Centralia's got a big 10-0, and the Berg defense is able to really stay solid and tee off on Centralia.
Orphans take over at their own 26. Here's the snap. The handoff goes to the right side to White. Finds a little bit of a hole up the middle. Gets into the streak secondary before he's finally brought down. A first down up to the 37-yard line on a gain of 11. White's been their most effective offensive weapon in the game outside of that Isaiah 53-yard run earlier in this half. First down from the 37. Streaks leading 16-0. 2 second-half touchdowns. And 2 two-point conversions, bouncing to the outside, wrapped up, and almost got free, but taken down at about the 40. White gains 3 on the second play of the series. And slow to get up now. And I'm guessing another leg cramp, and judging by how they're working on it, got to believe that's what it is. It'll be 2nd and 7 from the 40.
Again,
clock stop, 6:24 to go.
Yeah, a lot of those same names that you hear now and have heard for a while for the Silver Streaks, with Davina and Della Jonas and company stringing that play out. Centralia pitching it out, trying to find somewhere they can cut back in and make something happen, but the Streaks' pursuit has just been too strong most of the afternoon to allow that to happen very often.
Again, we'll have Fighting Illini football after our broadcast from Centralia is done. Illinois playing UConn. And then the Cardinals at Pittsburgh tonight. We'll be picking that one up after the Illini game. About 9 minutes to go in the first quarter, and UConn leading the Illinois 7-0. 2nd and 7 as we're ready to get the play underway here. Brown back in at running back, lines up behind the quarterback, Tabor. Tabor throws, looking long and underthrown, coming back and making the catch for it is the pass completion to the far side of the field to James Long.
The terrible throw.
It was vastly underthrown, and it worked.
That was the only, yeah, because the defender was fooled, and the guy, the offensive player, just he had his eyes on the ball, knew where it was. It was short. He's able to cut back in and make the catch on what was, yeah, just a terribly thrown ball. It had no spiral to it at all.
Gain of 18. They only had 4 yards passing prior to that. There's a flag down and a holding penalty, and Streaks tracked down the running back, Isaiah, from the backside. It'll be a loss of a yard. I would think the Streaks would take the holding penalty here.
Yep.
Even though it's a loss.
You know, this Centralia football program, these two schools, Galesburg and Centralia, are actually kind of similar, at least historically, because they're both, I think, considered basketball schools. I mean, honestly, for many years, I mean, Centralia has got, like, more wins than anybody in state history.
Or I think, don't they say they're the winningest program in the nation?
Maybe in the nation. The sign said it out when we were driving into town. And, of course, the Silver Streaks basketball tradition speaks for itself. And so sometimes football has taken a second, at least from an attention standpoint, a second billing in both of these towns for years. And, you know, both trying to fight their way back into respectability. Centralia did have a couple of playoff teams there a few years ago, but they went 1-8 last year. And we were looking at the records going back in between 2002 and 2009. This Centralia program went 6-65 on the football. 6-65. So there's nowhere to go but up after that. And one tie-in I found was from 99 to 02 for them. Their head coach was Mark Arthur, the brother of Bart Arthur, who was the superintendent for Galesburg Schools. And Mark was actually briefly hired by Galesburg to be the head football coach right after that string here at Centralia. And then nobody really got the full story on that, where he all of a sudden changed his mind and then didn't come.
After the holding penalty, back to pass. Lots of time for Tabor to look over the field. Now Vaynerman puts him under pressure and gets clocked in the backfield on a big block. That gets the Centralia crowd up. And Tabor still with the ball to the far side of the field and gets knocked out of bounds. And now there's a flag at the end of the play.
Yeah, that's going to be unnecessary roughness on Aaron Carl. That was they were on the sideline, and I got to agree with that flag. Like Aaron, but that was he took Devin Tabor and threw him to the ground when he could have just let him go there.
Vaynerman, meanwhile, is up. And looks a little wobbly on his legs, but he's going to come over and somebody's going to talk to him. I mean, he took a shot. He was in pursuit of the quarterback, and Keyshawn Jones saw Vaynerman coming and cut him off and smacked him hard. Vaynerman's going to stay on the field. Meanwhile, the penalty against the Silver Streaks has been indicated to the applause of the Centralia sideline, and that's going to take him all the way down really close to a first down. They have to get down to the Galesburg 32. The ball's going to be at the 34.
Streaks head coach Mike Washabar arguing down here that the whistle had not been blown yet and that they were just playing through the whistle. But the official said, hey, I'm the one that called it. He was over on the sideline, whistle or not. It wasn't the play I wanted to see. So that's the way that one came down. But Mike was lobbying for no call there.
So back to pass on first down. Tabor looking, now scrambling out of the pocket under pressure, dumps it down and intended at the 30-yard line and
well
knocked
defended.
Away. Yep, Streaks were there. Again, it was intended for Peyton Winters.
Yes, Cannon Klein. Really heads-up play by Klein, not only staying with his man, but diving in there, getting a hand on it, and wasn't too far from intercepting it.
So it'll be second and two. .525 to play in the game. Streaks leading by two touchdowns, 16-0. And the snap, the handoff to the left side. Some room to run for Kewan Brown, gets the first down. Streaks close the hole, but he crosses the 30 to the 28, picks up five, and that'll be a first down.
5'9", 205. Pretty good load coming through there.
And a quick snap from the Gillsburg 28-yard line. Brown trying to get to the outside, gets past one tackle, and then wrapped up by Nico Delegionis across the 25 to the 24-yard line.
And Delegionis was giving up some size, about 15 pounds on that one. You go to tackle a guy high that got a low center of gravity and a lot of bulk and a lot of strength. That can be tough, but Delegionis made it look easy.
And tough on the ground in this game for Kewan Brown. That's his ninth carry for 16 yards. Back to pass, Tabor. Looking downfield, still with it. No one to throw to. Now he's rolling right, still looking, telling somebody to come upfield or go downfield. He dumps it down underneath, intended for Winters, and he makes the catch and a quick tackle made by Cannon Klein.
Yeah.
Streaks had it well defended downfield. They're still short of the first down, and they end up gaining only a couple out of that.
I thought that was Burt Reynolds back there for a while. It was like the longest yard. There was nobody running at him. It was just guys, he's just looking and looking and looking and strolling around. And
so on third and about midfield, now the pile moves forward, but the Streaks get the stop at the 20. That's a yard short of the first down marker as they tried to go quick handoff, tried to catch the Streaks off guard a little bit. Cunningham still couldn't get to the first down marker, and they're a yard short. Well, about actually closer to 2 yards short.
You'd figure if this game isn't pretty well in hand, it could be if the Streaks get a fourth down stop here.
Just need a stop here. With 3:44 to play, leading 16-0. Fourth and two from the Gillsburg 21-yard line. Fake handoff, rolling right. Tabor dumps it and throws it away.
Wow.
And throws it way out of bounds, all the way to the fourth lane of the track on the far side. I don't know, when you need 2 yards for a touchdown, why are you throwing the ball away?
Yeah, that's a head-scratcher there, unless you don't know what down it is. You've got to try and either force it in somewhere or take off to make that happen.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'll relive that one in the replays over the week, and
again,
I want to do that again.
Yeah, he's just a sophomore,
yeah, right.
So there's aspects of those kinds of things that can be certainly part of the education process for him.
So the Streaks with the ball.
Yep,
16-point lead, 3.5 to go. Don't want to get too cavalier here offensively with any fancy play calls.
Nice. Take over on downs from the 20. They go back into the wishbone, and they go up the middle with that quick little handoff to Cannon Klein, the first man through. And he moves the pile for a gain of about 5. And, give Centralia credit here. We talked early on in the game about the number of players they have playing both ways, offensively, defensively. And on a day that's only gotten warmer and maybe a little warmer than we might have anticipated, judging by the forecast, they're not giving up anything big.
No. Well, thank goodness we played this game today and not the middle of next week.
Right.
It's supposed to be 94 down here next week. Woo! No thanks.
No, thank you. Be warm enough where we are next week from what the forecast looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Hayton comes up under center. He's going to take plenty of time, leading by 2 touchdowns with under 2:50 to go in the game. The handoff goes right, and a hit made initially at the line of scrimmage before Alex Egyptiaco picks up maybe a yard out of the play. Orphans call timeout. They have one remaining now at this point. And it'll be 3rd and 5 for the Silver Streaks from their own 25 with 2:38 to go in the game when we come out of the timeout.
Let's see. Centralia has Mascuda next week. So the Silver Streaks, another date with the Geneseo Green Machine.
Yep, getting into the expanded Western Big Six Conference next week with the opener at home.
Or do they just go by Maple Leafs? Have they gotten rid of the Green Machine moniker, do you know? Or
Those are the kinds of things we were curious to find out because, they got a new football field up there, got a brand new facility with lots of amenities, as you might expect, with the history that they had. And playing them at home last year as a non-conference game, we were thinking, all right, well, we'll go up there next year and kind of check it all out. And then, of course, the conference schedule changed everything, so we won't go up there until next year. But, yeah, I guess I still call them the Green Machine because that's what they did for so long, but I guess officially I don't know if they still use it or not.
Yeah, I mean, that was there when they had Bob Reed and who else was one of the Alleman coaches was there too when they were one of really a state power.
Ayton rolling right, scrambling up the middle. He's got the first down as he just kind of was able to sneak into a little bit of a hole that opened up there at the end, and Nice little scramble run by Connor to move it up to the 32. He picks up six and moves the chains, and the Streaks have been really good on third down here in the second half. 4 for 7.
This is our only, I think our only Saturday game this year, right? Everything else is under the lights.
Until we get to the playoffs.
Until we get to the playoffs. Well, and it's interesting, the last game I did with you here a number of years ago was also a Saturday afternoon game.
Yep.
Didn't go as well on that one. We were at Springfield and lost to Sacred Heart Griffin, I think 44 to nothing.
Which you were talking about the connections to Centralia. Of course, Bobby Brenneisen, the head coach of Centralia, a Sacred Heart Griffin product. Handoff to the left side as they go to David Vaynerman trying to roll out. And Centralia contains it well. David loses a couple, well, maybe just a yard now as they move the stick back forward. That's all right. Streaks just want the clock to run here. Minute 40 to go.
Not taking any away from that Streaks team that lost at Sacred Heart Griffin. That's the only Streaks team that's won a football playoff game.
That's right.
They won at home the first round and then got fed to the Lions down at Sacred Heart Griffin in the second round.
That was just Vaynerman's third carry of the game. And Ayton being the experienced senior quarterback, recognizing that it's all about the clock here right now, and he's going to let that roll down as much as he possibly can before he takes the snap. And it comes with a minute 9, and it goes up the middle, and the Streaks move the pile forward coming out of that wishbone formation, and Centralia calls its final timeout as Klein gets the ball forward to the 35. Well, now they're going to move it back. So either way, it'll be third and long for the Silver Streaks with a minute 4 left in the game coming out of the timeout.
A little feistiness on the end of that play. Nicholas Bastian for the Silver Streaks and David Tabor for Centralia. Just a little extra pushing, shoving, slap upside the helmet there after the play, but no flags. And I think Bastian just kind of patted him. Might have said something that because the Centralia player was not too pleased with it when he walked away, Tabor. But when you're on the lower end of the score, a lot of times your sense of humor isn't really very good at that point. My case there.
That's one way of putting it. Now, the good news for the Silver Streaks, with their first win of the season, if they can secure it here with the final minute 4 to go, that will leave Rock Island Alleman as the only winless team in the Western Big Six heading into conference play next week.
But always still dangerous.
And now whistle as Mike Washabaugh wants a timeout. So just, I don't know what he saw that he was uncertain about, but he wants to make sure this team is securing this victory here with a minute 4 to go and leading 16 to nothing. So again, the reason and there aren't that many undefeated teams left in the conference either. Oddly enough, it's the two newbies who are the undefeated teams, and that's not odd by their history by any stretch. Sterling and Geneseo.
Get used to it with Sterling especially.
So Moline lost to Lyle Bennett last night. Quincy lost to Alton, so that dropped them both down to 1-1. We mentioned earlier in the broadcast Rock Island's win over Metamora got them to 500. UT with a big win, 40-14 over East Peoria. And, there's a program that for almost 20 years now has not been able to win. I think 3 games is the most they have won in a single season.
Yeah, and that was that crazy year when they beat us and they beat Rock Island.
Yep.
And crushed us. And then Rocky, too.
They ran them all over the place.
And the one kid that suddenly showed up and played quarterback that just went bananas and scored touchdowns for 2 weeks, and then he either got hurt or was ineligible and they didn't do anything again the rest of the year.
That's right.
He was unbelievable.
All right, out of the I formation, 3rd and 8 for the Silver Streaks. Another first down would secure the win. Well, we're going to replay the first down, or the down, because Dylan McBride runs it up to the 45-yard line, which would have been enough for the first down, but a flag came down in the middle of the play, and we're going to play this one over. By and large, the Streaks played a cleaner game last week against Dunlap than they have this week, but so those are some things to shore up. Of course, Bobby Brenneisen said in our pregame interview with him that was one of the things he really wanted to see from his team in this game was cleaning up some of those kinds of things that make you go 1-8 on the season, and unfortunately they've turned the ball over 5 times and had some key penalties that have killed some of their drives.
Yep. I can't think other than their tenacity many times on defense. I'm not sure they're going to be very happy with much of what they see coming out of this game. And like they're like Galesburg, it's going to get tougher, not easier from here.
Right, with opening against Geneseo next week and then going to Quincy the following week. So what that penalty against the Silver Streaks is going to allow to happen is they're going to replay the third down with the holding penalty, bringing it back to the 25-yard line. And effectively, they're going to be able to run out the clock now because they can run a third down play here, and then they won't even have to punt the ball on fourth down as Mike Washabaugh calls the timeout to stop the clock with 28 seconds.
Mike always gets his use of timeouts, doesn't he? He called those three in a row last week before the field goal at the end of the first half. I said at that point I had never seen three in a row like that. But because usually you've used one or two of your timeouts by the end of the half.
Right.
And so he had three to use, and so he just went ahead and used them. And here they take one with 20 seconds left. I'm not sure that Centralia probably considers that the best thing that they've ever seen.
Well, and again, now all they have to do is get into victory formation and take a knee.
Right.
Because Centralia is out of timeouts. So
he
took the clock down with communication with the officials. I want a timeout right before you're going to flag us for delay of game. So they use the timeout to stop the clock and then set up the victory formation. Connor Ayton takes a knee, and the Silver Streaks in 12 seconds will officially be 1-1 on the season. And as we wind things down, Jim, I'll mention to you, Wayne Carl told my wife the next day, went over to ISU, where, of course, Jacob is playing, and he said saw the exact same thing happen at the end of the first half.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
I don't remember which team he said did it. I don't remember if it's ISU did it or the other way around, but he said the same thing. Never seen it my whole life, then saw it 2 days in
a
row.
That's something. Well, and sometimes, like in the pros, if they can get to the line of scrimmage, they'll snap it quick so the field goal kicker will get a chance to practice, basically, even though there's a timeout called. But, it was called in these cases for Galesburg last week way before anybody could really ever get a kickoff. So,
Mike Washabaugh will huddle up with the team, and then we'll talk with him when we come back in the postgame. Streaks win at 16-0 at Centralia. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists, providing solutions for your business. By Templeton Roofing, Galesburg's oldest and most experienced roofing contractor. Visit them at templetonroofing.com. And by Tom Irons and Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. By Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Midstate Manufacturing, the headquarters for any of your steel material fabrication or powder coating needs. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg. Home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. By Kratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. And by the all-new Galesburg Toyota, the dealership everyone is talking about. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast, mostly sunny today, the high 78. Increasing clouds tonight, there is a 50% chance of some showers and thunderstorms overnight, below 59. Tomorrow it'll be cloudy, some showers likely through early afternoon, the high 69. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, low 60. Monday, partly sunny, 81. Tuesday, partly sunny, up to 88. It is 75 right now at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks win at 16-0 at Centralia. Galesburg evens its record at 1-1 on the season. Our postgame coaches interview is brought to you by Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance agency in Galesburg. Here's Jim Lee with head coach Mike Washabaugh.
All right, are we up, Brad? All right, we're here with Victorious head coach Mike Washabaugh, and congratulations. The first half, it was anybody's game coming out here in the second half, but it was pretty clear who was the better team in that second half.
Yeah, I mean, I thought our kids were playing physical. We were still playing good team defense. You know, we were out without John Pettmeyer at left guard, which obviously he was a nine-game starter last year, linebacker, so he brings back a lot of moxie up front. You know, and we made a substitution at halftime and made a guy a two-way player, and, you know, that really cleaned up a lot of our run game. You know, what I thought we would be able to do, we were able to move the ball in the first half, just we'd sputter out. You know, number two, not a true D lineman, more of an undersized wrestler-type body, was giving us fits, you know, and then they'd match up with 70, their best D lineman, big-bodied kid, so they were doing a good job, you know, attacking that position, so we were really able to hunker down and get that going.
Yeah, you really got McBride established in that second half, and felt like you were running downhill there on a couple of drives.
Yeah, and that's what we needed. You know, I mean, we struggled last week with three hitters and all those sorts of things, and that was like a big emphasis this week, was to be able to come out and, you know, establish the run game and press the ball quickly, you know, and we didn't get a ton of those. You know, we get a pick, which whether if it is or not, I don't know. But, you know, that's going to keep people from loading the box on us, and when they do, we have to be confident that we can just throw the ball and take the one-on-one.
One of the things I was impressed with was you talked about that interception, or both guys had their hand on the ball. It was questionable who was going to get it, but they gave it to them. And instead of our sideline, the kids being all wrapped up in that and the drama that was there, that's one of those plays where if you lose your concentration on the next defensive series, bad things could happen. But these kids, they were ready right from the get-go and took the ball right back.
Right. I mean, the big thing we talk about is playing the snap cycle. So every single play, you know, you got a six-second play. You know, whether good or bad, you need to assess how that previous play went and flush that. Obviously, that one didn't go in our favor. You know, there's probably 10 guys in that play that had good plays, and the ex-receiver, you know, gets the interception. You know, but as a team, we have to just flush that out, get our defensive personnel on the field, and go right back to it. You know, and I think our kids, they're understanding the challenge of our schedule. You know, you saw the UT score last week, and they're much improved. So it's going to be 7 weeks of what we got last week, of what we got this week, of teams that are coached up with great depth, with good coaching. I mean, all those things. So our kids mentally have to be prepared to play for 48 minutes. We're practicing that way. We do in the weight room, and we're finally, you know, hitting the iceberg a little bit of getting to the top of that, of being able to do it in a game.
Early in this second half, they took a shot down the field. Man was wide open. We had a defender fall down. If that ball's thrown a little bit shorter, they're up by a touchdown. That was one of the big turning points, I think, in the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was one we didn't get last week, you know. I mean, you know, hindsight a little bit, we have Dylan in there. He's toting the rock on offense. We did something, played some press man, and kind of took away the inside slam, the tunnel screen. You know, so that was their only answer. So was he gassed? I mean, I won't know those things till film. You know, so kudos to their coach for attacking that. You know, but our kids rebounded. You know, we were able to get a pick, I think, on that next drive when they went back to it. Yep. Max played over the top, underthrown ball. He high-pointed it. You know, I mean, that's just kind of how the game is. You know, whether it's at corner or receiver or it's at left guard, doesn't matter. You know, all 11 guys have to be doing their job for it to work.
I think everybody on our sideline expected them to go back. I thought they might wait until the fourth quarter to try it, but they went right back after it. Max was right there, made the pick, and then, of course, he's able to get the strip down here on another possession. It looked like he just took the ball away from their ball carrier, so he had a big day.
Right. You know, I mean, he didn't play a snap as a junior last year because of that car accident, so he's making up for lost time last week and this week. You know, and he wasn't the most happiest for his performance at safety last week, so he definitely came out this week, and I thought got a loose, you know, in the special teams game, got a little bit of receiver play, but definitely at safety.
And then, of course, after your two touchdowns, it didn't matter as much today, but a lot of schools have found out if you don't convert, it can cost you a game. Well, you go into that formation that spreads the whole field. One time you threw it, one time you ran it, and both times it worked very well.
Yeah, it's a nice thing about not playing a common opponent. You know, it's not like we play Moline, we've been running that for 8 years since I've been here, or, you know, anybody in our league, you know, so I knew in the back of my mind we had that. We came out in a different formation last week. We threw two new ones this week, you know, so their kids were a little bit scrambling. You know, it's a mental defeat. You know, you go down the field, you put a score on the board, and then they get in some messed up formation. I mean, Quincy does the same thing on their offense and does it to us, but they come out in a messed up formation, and then you defeat them with the two-point conversion. It's like a double whammy, you know, and just a morale boost, you know, and it's very easy. We put it in June. You know, and it's low maintenance. Like, this is what we're carrying this week out of it. It's not like a big expenditure for us. But being a special teams guy, and I call Being on the other side, like you're wasting 5 minutes, you know, twice a week. That's 10 minutes out of your whole practice time just to align. Hey, they can do this. This guy's eligible. You know, all those sorts of things. You know, and our kids really buy into it, you know, and I think it makes something fun. It makes our starters that we put on special teams, they understand the importance of those plays, you know, and then they're able to execute like that.
The only bad thing that may come out of this afternoon, I think we probably got a sunburn to show for the afternoon of football, but also you did have a few more penalties, I think, than you probably want to have.
Yeah, we got called for a couple holds on the inside. You know, I'd have to go back and watch film. You know, there's a lot of guys for us, especially up front of my position groups, that are going both ways, you know, and that's not an excuse for them to be leaning and kind of yanking guys. We got to clean that up, but, you know, something that I'll pick up on film and, you know, talk to the – I was already talking to the guys in-game about it, you know.
Even after a shutout win, you got to find something to pick apart, right?
Definitely in the first half, there's a lot of fixing to do in that.
All right, very good. Appreciate your time. Good to see you again, Mike.
Yep, thank you.
All right, Mike Washbaugh, head coach of the Silver Streaks, as we wrap things up here this afternoon after a big 16-0 win. Brad?
Thanks, Jim. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, take a look at our statistics, our post-game statistics, give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game as well. 16-0, Galesburg shuts out Centralia. The Streaks are 1-1. On the season. This is Galesburg High School football postgame coverage on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg Nissan is home with a lifetime warranty. No gimmicks, no deductible, and no expensive service requirements. Galesburg Nissan's lifetime warranty is just that. Unlimited time and unlimited miles. Plus, you get a free loaner car for life if your car needs to be in the shop. And every fifth oil change is free. Yes, for life. We just won our third consecutive Nissan Award of Excellence, recognizing large sales volume and superior customer satisfaction. We want to be your dealer for life, and we'll strive to prove it every day. Galesburg Nissan, home with a lifetime warranty.
Introducing the $1 yoga deal.
Breathe in. And I'ma see you later.
Or get a real deal at McDonald's. Introducing the buy one, get one for a dollar deal. Buy one of your faves and pick another for just an extra buck. Choose from the Big Mac, filet of fish, quarter pounder with cheese, or 10-piece chicken McNuggets. But you better stop by McDonald's today, because this deal is only around for a limited time. Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any offers or combo meal.
It sounds good on AM, but sounds even better on FM. 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.
Silver Streaks win it. A 16-0, and I guess maybe at this point we can maybe go ahead and announce probably one of the most obvious. We probably don't even half our listeners at home probably already know who we're going to go with our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game, but we're going to announce it anyway. It's easy choice. I mean, again, you said it, Jim, a lot of candidates, but
yeah, really were. I mean, certainly you can give a lot of credit to quarterback Grant Ayton, who I thought did a good job today. Aaron Carl receiving, the Egyptiakos made their presence known on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, Hunter Davina was huge again. David Vaynerman, I mean, you could go all the way up and down. Cannon Klein. But for the player of the game, you said we alluded to it, it has to be Max Carr. I mean, crunch time plays of the game, he makes that big interception when they try and go deep again just after we grabbed the lead there in the third quarter. And then not long after that, he's able to strip their ball carrier and create another turnover. And
yeah.
And if the Streaks weren't high on confidence then, that was the one that just made it feel like there's no way they're going to let this game get away. The sideline was all fired up, and so Max just played a terrific game out there in some key moments today.
Max Carr, Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. We'll give you our final statistics when we come back to wrap things up from Centralia on WGIL and WGIL.com.
All right, every week we put together a digital life hack tip, and it's all designed to make things easier, to answer some probing questions that you might have. And I've noticed in my inbox that a lot of folks are wondering, like, what is the best browser to use? Because let's just face it, you got a lot of choices. So over at Commando.com, we've decided to do the research.
Team Commando, Sunday mornings at 9 until noon on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
So you're thinking about selling your car, but you want to know how much money you're going to get. Go to KellyBlueBook.com, type in your vehicle's info, and get an instant cash offer. Then bring your car to us at Galesburg Toyota, and we'll put that money in the palm of your hand. I might even sweeten the deal if I can. I'm GM Tony Batson. We've been buying cars, trucks, and SUVs like yours left and right because we make selling your car easy and fun. I mean, what's more fun than a fistful of cash? And at Galesburg Toyota, culture is everything. See what I mean? When you sell local, sell with confidence. Sell your car, Galesburg Toyota.
Online at Galesburg Toyota.com.
If your bathroom makes you cringe, but you don't want to deal with a
the mess of a remodel, I have the quickest, easiest solution possible. At Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, we can cover your tub, shower, and walls with a custom-fitted acrylic bath system. It won't chip, crack, stain, or fade. Plus, no more grout. You can pick from a variety of colors and styles to fit your taste, and in just a few days, you'll have a transformed bathroom. I'm Neil Thomas. Give us a call and get your beautiful new bathroom at 342-HEAT.
YEM Certified Service can help make sure your car is ready for summer driving. Brenda Jones, new Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Service Manager.
An oil change is something we all have to do, but we hate to take the time to do it. So here at YEM, we're trying to make it as easy as possible for you. With our new walk-in oil change service, when you've got the time, drive on in. No appointment necessary.
When it comes to feeling safe behind the wheel this summer, trust the service experts at YEM. North Henderson Street, Galesburg.
Tune in to Cardinal Baseball tonight as the Redbirds take on Pittsburgh. Coverage begins at 5:10 tonight.
Follow the Cardinals all season long on WGIL.
Silver Streaks win at Centralia 16-0. Let's run through our final statistics brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. Let's start off with the Silver Streaks. Dylan McBride in a victorious effort, 18 carries, 74 yards. The leading Silver Streaks, actually, I take that back. 19 carries, 84 yards, and one touchdown for Dylan. That came after the Silver Streaks stripped out a reception and recovered the fumble at the 10-yard line, and that set up the Silver Streaks' second score. So 10 carries, 84 yards for Dylan McBride. Connor Ayton had the other touchdown for the Silver Streaks. He ran it in on a yard out. Back in the third quarter, but he still finished with negative yardage as he was scrambling quite a bit and was tackled for loss several times in the game. The rest of the team, though, Cannon Klein, 8 carries, 56 yards out of the wishbone formation. David Vaderman carried it 3 times for 13 yards, and Alex Egyptiaco ran it 5 times for 3 yards. Ayton passed for 101 yards in this game, had 8 completions, 8 for 20. Only 1 out of 7 in the second half, but a 27-yard pass play to Aaron Carl was one of the bigger plays early in the second half for the Silver Streaks. Dre Egyptiaco, 2 receptions for 34 yards. And let's see, that 27-yarder, that was one of Carl's 2 receptions. He had 34 yards in receiving. Grant Ayton, 2 catches for 17 yards. Dylan McBride had a 10-yard reception, and Justice Gatson had a 6-yard catch. Streaks were penalized for 75 yards in this game. Biggest run play of the day for Centralia went to Marcus Isaiah, ran it for 53 yards, but then 2 plays later, the Silver Streaks forced a turnover. He still finished, he had a 15-yard negative rushing play earlier in the game, so despite that big play, he finished with just 38 yards rushing. Corey White, the leading ground carrier for Centralia, 10 carries, 43 yards. Kewan Brown ran for 16. The quarterback, Davin Tabor, had 8 yards rushing. And Camden Woolbright had a 1 run for minus 1. Passing game, Davin Tabor did have 1 interception. That was, again, the interception by Max Carr. Passed for 24 yards. 4 passes in 11 attempts. And that interception, again, just 24 yards passing for Centralia's quarterback, Davin Tabor. So the Streaks win at 16-0. Again, Max Carr, Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game, and the Streaks will be back home next Friday night to open the Western Big Six Conference season against Geneseo. Jim Lee, great to have you along. Appreciate you doing us a favor and filling in for Jake and Sean. Of course, the invitation's always open, but I know you're retired for a reason, and these are long days.
Yeah, well, thanks again. This was a lot of fun, and guys, to get here and see a Streaks win, and
yeah,
a beautiful afternoon, and spend time with you. It couldn't get much better.
A little Centralia history in basketball.
Yeah, that's right. Seeing Lee Bennett down here, old friend from years ago, and so, it's been great, and thanks to the listeners for always kind comments, but I know in listening last week how Silver Streaks football is broadcast have just taken such a step up, because you always do such a great job, Brad, in painting the picture and describing the action, and to have, a couple of guys have been coaches, and Jake and Sean. I mean, they they can describe and break down plays that I have no idea. You know, I'm kind of a big picture peripheral guy of what's going on out there, but they can really analyze the game well, let you know the ins and outs of what's happening and who's doing it and why. And so it's great to have both Jake and Sean. Be good to have them back here next week.
They'll be upset they missed the win, for sure.
That's right, yeah. They're gonna regret that they let me do this one.
So thanks to Jim for filling in. Thanks to Tom Meredith and James Noble, our broadcast engineers today. And thanks to you for being with us as well. To listen to the Silver Streaks get their first win of the season, 16-0 at Centralia. Again, stay tuned for Fighting Illini football against the University of Connecticut coming up after our broadcast here. And then Cardinals baseball against Pittsburgh follows the Illini broadcast as well. For my colleague Jim Lee, on behalf of Sean Hickey and Jake Miller, for Tom and James back at the studio, thanks for being with us for Silver Streaks football. I'm Brad Benowitz. Have a good rest of your weekend. Streaks win at 16-0. Good day from Centralia.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.